That's right. John Montague was also known as the Earl of Sandwich. Believe it or not.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
And this is Jess.
With our guest host, Brian Ortiz.
Hello.
Filling in for Regan while he's in Australia.
Oh, put another shrimp on the barbie, Roger.
Are you Japanese?
That's a special forces tattoo, Roger.
Fish are friends, not food.
I'm Mad Max, Roger.
Wolf Creek.
Stop hitting Jesus, Roger.
Let's eat kangaroo.
And you guys are dead on impressions. I thought I was down under.
I
thought I was in Outback.
In the Outback.
And I mean, sorry. Crikey, I thought I was down under.
There it is.
Yeah.
And we are very, very happy to be at our new home at oneofus.net.
Oneofus.net.
And this is going to be our second episode on oneofus.net. So thank you very much for tuning in. And we are happy campers, Jess, to be talking about what today?
Today's topics, we have topic number one. What is the grossest thing you have ever seen in your life? Topic two, did you ever have a journal or a diary when you were a kid? And if you did, please share an excerpt. I can't wait for that one. And topic number three, what is something that you believe in that most people don't believe in? Like Bigfoot or Nessie.
Or God.
Yeah, God, which is, you know, count how many times that's
going to be on the comments.
Yeah.
And we are pleased as punch to have back once again for the second time, a Public Access alum.
Yeah.
Dino Fox. Dino, how are you?
I am doing great. How's it going, everybody?
Oh, boy. It's going really, really well. So, Dino, you were just recently, currently, I should say, on the cover of the San Antonio Current. Is that? Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, that's correct. The San Antonio Burlesque Festival just happened this past weekend, August 1st and 2nd, at the historic Josephine Theater. And the San Antonio Current put us on the cover and gave us a big old spread on the inside.
I like how you say us.
Well, it was us. It's a whole community of people that have been working so hard. So
just you,
don't
dude.
Be jelly that he was the only person on the
I'm
cover.
I'm not jelly. I'm proud. You know what? You could be humble. And God bless you for being humble. But because you're my friend, it was just Dino, baby. It was just my boyfriend.
Well, actually, it was your boyfriend's alter ego, Foxy Blue Orchid.
Oh, touche. Which I don't like as much as you.
Wow.
That's a very strained relationship.
The tension's pretty.
You can grab it. You can cut a piece of it. Like
and
bread.
Well, and from where I'm sitting right across, I could grab it. We were a lot farther from each other the last episode that I was on. So yeah. I'm with
nice and tight.
Yeah.
So as
with full respect to your wife.
Yeah, I was just about to say
my regards to your children.
I was just about to say that Andy's super jealous, and I go, "Hey, so I'm gonna flirt with Dino, so don't." All right, and she's just like, "I guess."
Well,
she thinks it's cute.
It's part of the program.
It's part of the program.
That's what I gotta
do. Part of the job. Yeah,
I gotta feed Dino Grey
Goose.
You
think Justin
Timberlake only top shelf?
Only top shelf. Comedia Gogo stepping up.
You think Justin Timberlake's girlfriend, has to be okay with like him touching girls or whatever?
Oh, Jessica Chainsaw Massacre. That's his wife, right?
That's his
Jessica
wife.
Biel.
Jessica Biel.
Oh,
what's the name of the girl from Flashdance?
Jennifer
Beals.
Are they related?
No.
Jennifer Beals was on The L Word.
Yeah, hell yeah.
On Showtime.
So Dino, what's coming up new for you?
Well, there's a lot coming up. So my home troupe, Stars and Garters, has a big TV themed show, which I think there might be a little crossover between the people around this table right now.
A little Comedia Gogo splash,
sprinkles,
kind of sprinkles, meet the Flintstones.
A little pinch, a little sprinkles. Yeah.
And
decent cartoon.
Yeah, Family Guy, Simpsons happen.
Yeah, a little Captain America, Shield, and Iron Man.
Yeah, a little fucking Stars and Garters and Comedia Gogo.
Yeah. So you guys have to wear pasties. That's the only thing.
No, we'll okay.
Already
yeah.
done.
Yeah, I was going to say, you do normally wear pasties.
Well, that's because I have sensitive nipples.
Nipples, right.
Yeah.
It's hard for you to walk or do anything almost.
You know, I really do. By the way, I don't think that's TMI. It's just real shit. I used to try to go shirtless in the pool, and the chlorine just, man.
Just eat them up.
Fuck,
just
dude.
Eat them up.
Fuck. I mean, they're not gross nipples, but they turn pepperoni, man.
Is it tough to run?
Not just because of the nipples, of what God did to me with my shape. And
this was just the cherry on top.
Exactly.
The nipple with the cherry on top.
They chafe so much.
So is it too late for me to withdraw the invitation for you to be a part of our show?
What? Because of the nipples?
Because of the nasty nipples. No, I'm just
They're
joking.
Not nasty. They're just sensitive.
They're
sensitive.
They feel lots of nerve endings.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
The rest of the All-Star cast will be doing burlesque performances set to some crazy things or some nerdy things. There's a callback to the 90s. Yeah. There's maybe a little Pig Bundy action going
on.
Is
there? I can't wait for that.
I have a tribute to Mrs. Roper that will probably win over the audience very well, I'm hoping.
It will.
And who's Mr. Roper?
Oh, yeah. Who's Mr. Roper?
Mrs. Roper.
Mrs. Roper. Explain to our younger...
Oh, there was a show called Three's Company, and the main character, Jack Tripper, had multiple landlords, two of them, Mr. Roper and Mr. Farley. Mr. Roper was the original and his wife.
That's Don Knotts, right?
Yeah, Stanley Roper. They had a spinoff show.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, The Ropers. You remember The Ropers, Dino?
Yeah,
Ropists.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be fun. Then we move on. I go to Houston to perform at Numbers Nightclub. Apparently, it's still open. Ooh. And I'm doing the Dim Dam Dames show. And then next month, I am competing at the Latin Burlesque Festival in Dallas. Yeah, so I'm competing in the Best Drag Act competition. And it's not really about awards, but I want the title.
Who doesn't? Now, are you the only male burlesque performer that's going to be performing at the performance at the Latin?
During the performance at the performing.
Yes, that you're going to be performing in?
No, not at all. Hopefully, there's... Well, it's the first annual, so sometimes certain things can happen. Like, I would be the only drag act that got in and would win by default, which I will work that title. I don't care.
Hey, man.
I will own it loud and proud because I showed up.
That's right. And you should, too.
Yeah. And then...
second, and third.
If there are... You know, other competitors. We'll see. I know there's the host is Jade Esteban Estrada. So
another public access alum.
Yeah.
So there'll definitely be a presence in the festival. So I think it should be good. And I think they're going to announce the full lineup pretty quickly. And I'm pretty excited about it.
And I'm excited about that too. So all of our Houston listeners, make sure to check it out. What's it called again?
So in Houston, I'm doing the Dem Dam Dame show at Numbers on August 29th. Then the Latin Burlesque Festival will be at the Texas Theater in Dallas the 27th of September. So that will be their first annual event. And I'm excited to just see what's going on.
And I'm excited too. Brian, how's it going, man?
Yeah, Brian.
Special guest host.
Doing good. Busy.
Busy. Why are you busy?
Right now, we're in the throes of putting up our next massive late-night serial production at the Overtime Theater called Queen's Castle. Queen's Castle opens August the 8th. It's huge. It's a really, really fun and big show. We did a Kickstarter for it. It's about this wonderful story of we're taking Alice in Wonderland, and we're taking Dorothy from our...
Wizard of Oz.
Thank you. From their stories, and we're going to clash them together. And it's going to be this great
Guy, Simpsons, Jetsons, Flintstones.
It's a crossover theme today is what it is.
Yeah, it is. Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Alien versus Predator. I mean, we're all on this stuff.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ollie versus Frasier.
No, those guys were naturally
real
fought.
People.
The Partridge Family and the Brady Bunch?
Yeah.
I think there was
Steve Urkel on Full House. Do you remember that? How annoyed, and he was on Step by Step, and everyone hated him because he was black, but they just went with because he's annoying, but they were just racist?
Well, because he had glasses. That's why they were nice.
I guess. Yeah. Don't hit a guy. It didn't remind him of Malcolm X. Wear a bow tie and... had glasses.
And this is going to be, it's a serial, is that the plan?
So this is a late night serial. So we did a show called Captain Cortez. Mm-hmm. We did it for 4 years. It was fantastic. It was fun. And it would happen at the end of every month. And we would do two shows. But this time what we did is they did another show called Port Cove, which is also awesome, late night. But it lasted for 8 weeks. That means it was 8 episodes. And every week was a brand new episode of that story. So just like a TV show, you would come and you would see a brand new episode. Not the one from before, but a brand new late night show. And so it's going to run till September 27th, I think. Every week, a brand new show. Tickets are available online at brownpapertickets.com. You can also go to the Overtime website and Facebook. It's everywhere. You can find out all the information you want. It's going to be huge. It's going to be fun. We got a ton of fantastic performance written by Scott McDowell, the man, the genius behind all these stories. And he's got different directors doing stuff. So he's doing like 3 or 4 episodes. I'm directing 2. Chris Champlin will be directing another 2. So it has a different flavor every time someone comes and sees it, you know. And the cast is going to be great, and they have to learn a new script every week. It's going to be freaking crazy,
That's
man.
Awesome. Have you ever been to Overtime, Dino?
Of course, yeah. I've also performed there.
That was going to be my follow-up question. Yeah. What did you perform at the Overtime?
I've done the Overtime Cabaret, which I think is absolutely phenomenal. It was absolutely a really cool experience. The fact that, Jules Vaqueta, the producer, connects you with other artists to collaborate. They commit to doing all live music, nothing pre-recorded. You know, there's also burlesque. There's going to be drag. My partner, Maxi Rad's actually performing in the one next month. And it's really, really fun. I've also done the Skimprov show that Susie did there.
Susie Jones produced.
That sounds saucy.
Yeah. What's Skimprov?
You essentially spin the wheel. It gives you a song. There's a box of props on stage, and you just have to perform improv as a burlesque routine.
What?
Yeah. I wasn't brave enough to do it. I sang a song as one of the guests that had
a guest performer.
I came as a guest performer that night. But
man. See, I would do it.
The Overtime, man. It's got a lot of stuff, I'm telling you.
There's a lot going on. I remember the Overtime when it was on West Avenue.
Yeah. There was 2 off West Avenue. Then we moved over to the Blue Star. And then after the Blue Star, we moved into our Camden area now. So we're off Camden
Street.
I like
that one. Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. Yeah, it's really cool. Because it's like in a developing area where the Pearl Brewery's there and stuff. And then Fiesta. And then the river's like right there, too. It's
then
got the glowing fishes.
I was about to say the glowing fishes.
Yep.
It's awesome. And in a bunch of hobos.
Yeah.
Just like
there's a bunch of hobos, and there's that really cool bus stop that looks like some kind of weird, like Disney World Jumbo Land Safari.
Yeah. The themed Fox Motel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been there.
Hourly.
I don't own that.
I've heard they charge hourly
that place. Right. I'm not a VIP.
I didn't have sex with the hookers there.
I don't rent the one room with air condition. That's not me. So all that right around the Overtime.
That's
check it out.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, theovertime.org. Check it out.
Yeah, I love it, dude. Yeah.
Overtimetheater.org. Excuse me. There you go.
Yeah. I want to plug our podcast, but you're listening to it. Thanks.
We got a show.
We have a show that you're currently listening to. So, all right, this is already a lot of fun. I think this is going to be one of my favorite podcasts ever, and not just because Regan's not here, guys. Regan, you're missed. I know you're listening to this, dude. But
I love you, dog.
Yeah, man, you had to go and be a sink.
He's gonna ride a wallaby.
Yeah, single income, no kids.
Yeah,
look at my pictures. And then I'm liking them.
Putz. Yeah. They're great.
Beautiful pictures.
Yeah. Majestically, he's running with gazelles. He's like fighting stingrays. I mean, my God.
And he's taking all those pictures with a razor phone, man.
Wow.
Yeah, if you could believe that.
That's classic.
I'm just jealous, Regan, man.
He's got a razor.
Shut up.
Me too, dude.
Those are fucking sweet.
I know.
The maroon
fucking
one?
Flip open and shit, son. They got like the play button in the front for music, Mijo. It's awesome.
Mijo, it's awesome. Headphone jack.
I can't wait to hear his adventures when he comes back.
It's gonna be cool. I can wait.
I walked around. I ate food, and then I packed a bag. One bag. Bag with all my belongings. I only needed one bag.
Here, this is my.
And then I washed my clothes in a puddle on the side of the street. I'm Regan.
Yeah, it's like, hey Regan, how was it, man?
Yeah, all right, that's cool.
That's way better.
What'd you do?
Hey, post pictures, man. Go look at those.
All right. Sorry, man.
Fucking get out of here.
Banging USA at the hostels.
Yeah.
Ever stayed at a hostel, Dino?
No.
Because you're a sane person.
Because you're classy. You don't do that stuff, do you?
I'm high maintenance, I guess.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, you would have to stay at a 4-star would be slumming it, right?
Every two.
No, I'll stay at like a Motel 6 or something.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not that fancy.
Hostels are crazy, man. You got to sleep with your bag. I mean, you got to hold it like a child.
Have you ever stayed at a hostel?
Sort of. Like in Mexico, I think. I felt like a damn hostel.
But it might have been my grandma's house.
But it might have been like just some dude's house that they made a stay at. I'm not really sure. There was crazy shit happening, and it was really gross. So I felt.
Why
like
were you there?
This was back in high school. It was a band trip. I had went to like a private school, so we didn't participate in jack and shit when it came to band because we're not good. There was like 12 of us. We were like, just terrible.
In Brownsville,
what Texas. What was
the name of the school? St. Augustine?
No, I went to high school at St. Joseph Academy High School. Yeah.
Was it kinder through 12th?
No, it's kinder through 12 now.
Oh, is it? Oh, shit. Yeah. No, St. Augustine in Laredo is kinder through 12.
No, I was 7 to 12. 7 to 12.
Yeah.
So we did that and... I'm pretty sure someone rich was like, come to celebrate. They made us go all the way down to Guadalajara for the grand opening of a big fountain. That was what it was. So we got on this bus.
We have credit in water.
This is the best part. We get on the bus. We have all these crazy, crazy adventures, and everything's weird and stuff. And you're with all your friends in Mexico, and you're like, oh shit. We get there. We set up. We play, just real terrible. And then they're like, ladies and gentlemen, the fountain. And then they start it up, and we're kind of near a lake. It's with a big old river lake by the school. And all of a sudden, just in the middle of the lake, comes this fountain of water. I'm like, isn't that one of those Resaca fountains that like turns up the algae? And everybody was like, shh.
Shut up, smart kid.
Shut up. Just play. No, it was a Resaca, those algae turning fountains.
Like a filter.
Like a filter. They basically bought two filters, put it out in their big old river. And had a big old ceremony from the city.
But it's a total, they put lots of city funding or whatever in it. It was a total fucking sham.
Someone paid for a band to get on a bus to travel across Mexico
so
to
Guadalajara. So they could get a tax write off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was hoping it was like some Virgen de Guadalupe fountain
appearance.
Yeah.
No,
like just actual an apparition. That was probably what they were hoping for.
The water.
But she's playing the French horn. But the fountain was like when you turn on the faucet in a shitty apartment and it's all and it's like green, 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 brown, brown, black, water, 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 water. That would have been fucking awesome.
It kind of felt like that. It was kind of that was the adventure.
But you paid nothing for it and you stayed in some guy's house.
We stayed in a hotel, but I swear it was not a hotel. It was just so nasty. And it was such a and that alone had its own creepy ass adventures on top of that too. But high school band, what are you going to do? Crazy times in a high school band, man. It was fucking crazy.
Late and paid. So Jess, let's start our first topic.
In today's edition of I'm going to look into that topic where I talk about the latest in movies and games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of guests and listeners would be, hey, yo, I'm going to look into that. So this week is actually not a movie or game. It's actually this old series of books I've never heard of until recently, and they're called Grossology. Grossology is the series of books meant for kids that basically are titled The Impolite Science of the Human Body. They're basically teaching kids at a very young age the ins and outs of all the gross things they want to ask, like farts and boogers and poop and barf. And why do we smell weird? And all those questions that kids have, to quote John Krugfelusi, the creator of Ren and Stimpy, kids love boogers and farts. And they have a natural curiosity, so they're always going to ask, where does it come from? So these two writers had wrote these series of books specifically for kids that go in and answer those questions candidly without being too snooty about it. They kept it fun. Like the question would be, why do we fart? And then they'll go, well, you fart because your body digests this and it produces these particular gas. And so the reason why I bring it up, the reason why I exposed to it, is because Grossology has a touring museum exhibit. And it is actually, you'll probably hear about it, Larry, is it'll be at the Witte Museum, and it's for the kids. The kids get to go, and they get to see these, large dioramas of, these cartoon characters, and you get to see the inside of their stomachs and what it looks like for food to digest or what a burp looks like.
I'm sure it's more kid-friendly than the CSI experience that I took Mikey to.
Oh, that was amazing.
Continue.
Yes, exactly.
Dead hookers.
Yeah.
So real. The case.
Let's analyze this. No, it was fucking, we talked about it.
It was
the podcast,
with cocaine all over.
Oh. And there is
for kids.
It was for kids. It was only the age limit was 5. Not recommended for children under 5. Oh, okay. That's it.
Mommy, why are her legs like that?
Because she's a whore. She asked for it.
Like, mom.
So, written by Sylvia Branzi and Jack Keeley. Those are the authors. I wanted to pull out a couple of segments from their website, because you can go to grossology.org, and they basically have, like, the little factoids that are, like, on random. And the thing that I thought was kind of unusual is, like, how... Like, it's cool to be comfortable with, like, okay, why do we fart and why do we burp and all this stuff? But the term butthole was being, like, thrown around just a little too freely.
Haphazardly.
Like, what is this stuff coming out of my...
What is wrong with the word butthole, though? That's another dialogue we have to commence with. Like, there's something wrong with that word.
With butthole?
No. Let's use it in all books. Let's put it in textbooks.
Well, I guess you could say the butt... is a comfortable word. So if you're talking about your rectum,
yeah,
butthole
is how you would say it to kids.
So this says cum on a Trojan. Anyway, continue on the instructions.
So these are like some grossology fact of the moment. These are some of the random ones I found. It takes about 4 hours for food to turn into mushy chum in the stomach.
Mushy chum?
Mushy chum.
All right.
If you hurl before this time, your barf will be adorned with lots of lovely chunky bits. This is just like, okay.
Did Wayne write this?
Yeah. Grossology. Did you know that at night you make hardly any tears?
Okay, man.
Yeah, right.
Brian
okay.
Just did a killer Wayne, dude.
Yeah, but you do make some. They pool in the corners of your eyes and don't drain away. When the liquid and your tears dry up, you're left with a little crusty masses. Which mixed with sweat and oil to form eye crust.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, anyways.
Excellent.
One last one. This is the one I thought was really interesting.
Wayne!
Whoa. You owe me a life.
Are you Keanu Reeves?
I'm at Keanu Reeves now.
Can I still be Garth?
Has to be Wayne?
That's a line from the movie.
Can I be frank with you?
Sure. Can I still be Garth?
Best line in the movie.
The last one that I thought was interesting, this is a lengthy one. Another way to treat itching piles was to use the pile pipe. And not saying pile as in...
Pile pipe, Dino? Are you familiar?
Well, I'll go on. The pile pipe was a small device with a pipe on one end and a compartment in the center and a screw plunger on the other end. The pile surfer placed medicine made of vegetable oil into the compartment, shoved the pipe up the booty... Turned the screw on the plunger and inserted the medicine into their butt area. The ad boasted, this was a device that they sold, the pile pipe. The ad boasted, we have received many letters from people who have used the pile pipe with the most pleasing satisfaction. So this factoid is on grossology, and this is meant for, like, the kids.
An enema.
Yeah. This is basically what that pile pipe was before. It was kind of a common thing.
I bet you there's a gay sex toy version of it.
I was just about to say. Yeah,
that's the pile pipe.
Private pile pipe. Yeah. Like, it's like green with a star, like army themed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And it goes, go only, like, every time you shove it up your ass.
So, but why was that on Grossology?
They're factoids. If you go to grossology.org and you click on learn the factoid of the day, it brings up this, like, randomized fact. And every time you hit refresh, it refreshes. It just keeps going. Like,
people come for many reasons, kids.
So, like, kids are learning about their body and what are they doing this. But I did think it was very, like, there were several of them that referred butthole things going into your butthole or out of your butthole. Like, why does your butthole itch? And, like, just really, and it's like, okay, like, they have the answers to the questions that a kid would ask, you know.
But it's like this. There's some things that, like, okay, I get it. Why do you fart? Why do you burp? Why is there poop? Mm-hmm. Right? Things that kids do all the time.
Yeah.
But I do think, and I'm not trying to shelter anybody.
Right.
You know, like, if Mikey and Gunner ask me a question, I'm going to answer him.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that's kind of, I don't know, not too much information, but in a sense, they never asked.
Right.
So why would, I mean, I guess something to click on, but having that as a random fact, it's like Charles Manson says, man. To Nancy Reagan, he's like, why just say no? I didn't know I could say yes. You're telling me not to take this blue pill. I didn't know there was a blue pill I could take. So I think that kind of opens up a Pandora's box of unnecessary, like, you know, what's an enema?
Jesus. Yeah.
You got to clean your butt sometimes. when it's...
Well, the heart's in the right place. It starts off fine. Like, why do we fart? Why do you smell? Like, why do you sweat? And then come the factoids of, like, why is pile pipe in there? Like,
yeah.
Like, that's the only thing. So the museum exhibit...
What's a prostate massage?
The museum exhibit is very simple. Like, these cartoon diagrams, like a giant nose that you can walk in. So you right, can see, like, all the nose hairs and, like, why boogers collect and all this other stuff. And the kids get to play with it. And they get to do all this stuff on this game.
Ooh, sugar booger.
And they get to do all that kind of cool stuff. So I was actually just fascinated by the fact that this thing, and there's a cartoon, the Grossology cartoon, but they basically made it like a very like Disney friendly. They gave it characters, and so like they have adventures, but at the same time they actually learn.
I mean I think that's the right way to go, because like you said, kids love boogers and
yeah
farts.
Kirk Vellucci, yeah, he, that's why Ren Stimpy the way it was, he made that, like, even though those were like really gross, he had said like kids, that's what kids love, they love boogers and farts, that's what makes them laugh, that's why he drew those cartoons for kids.
My favorite episode was when Stimpy lost his fart.
Oh, that's yeah. a classic.
That's a classic.
That was my
yeah.
absolute favorite.
That was the picture that you used,
yeah,
right?
That was a picture I used last week when we were talking about farts,
yeah.
Like, which is well, we talk about farts, it was specifically about farts. A memorable fart.
Did you ever play the Boogerman video game for Sega Genesis?
Yeah, I remember Boogerman. Yeah.
I was huge into Boogerman when I was a kid. Huge.
They're funny. It's good. And it's funny as a parent now, as opposed to being a kid. Like there was this Magic World of Gumball. Have you ever seen that on Cartoon Network? It's pretty funny. It's weird Ren and Stimpy esque kind of shit, like Adventure Time and stuff. But Mikey came to me, or Gunner, I should say. He's 4, and he's going. Poop comes out your mouth. Poop comes out your mouth. And I'm just like, what are you saying poop comes out your mouth for? And then my daughter trying to like kind of smooth things out. No, Dad, it was Magic World of Gumball. They were doing butt puppets. And I'm like, wait, what? And she's
better.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, no, Dad, they put like squiggly eyes on their butt cheeks and they were doing butt puppets. So they were like talking out of their butts. And so then they're just talking about what butts do, and this one butt told another butt that poop comes out your mouth because they're butt puppets. I went, I don't know if I want you to watch Magic World of Gumball anymore. That
Who
sucks.
Are you?
But yeah.
Well, you were kind of shitty parent. Yeah.
Well, you were put in the position that everybody was when Ren Stimpy came out, because my brother yeah. and sister weren't allowed to watch it. Like, I watched it. I was, you know, fucking, you know. I was a college
30,
student or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah, I was already living in my basement already at the time. No, but they couldn't watch it because it was just too extreme.
Like, it was too much. Yeah, too much, Nipple
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
the nipple salesman.
The nipples on the walrus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
powdered toast man.
Powdered toast man was the shit.
Yeah,
literally.
Fun side note: I have a comic book that is the team up crossover of Powdered Toast Man and Spider Man.
Oh, what?
Yes, but I got it when I was a kid in Brownsville. I was like, "That's cool."
I have Dahmer versus Jesus. I don't. It's I wish I did. It exists.
But didn't every poor Mexican have some version of the log, which was the thing they would always sell, which is essentially...
No, log. Yeah. Big, it's magic, it's wood.
It's a big chunk of wood they sold.
It's better than that. It's good.
What goes downstairs, a loner in pairs, rolls over your... I can't
believe it. Rolls over your neighbor's dog.
It fits on your back. It's great for a snack. It's log,
log, log. Oh, dude. That was stored, man.
It was.
I had to defrag my brain in there fucking... So, Jess.
So, that inspires this week's topic for, yeah, I'm going to look into that. And it is, what is the grossest thing you've ever seen in your life? Inspired by this topic where they're talking about gross and disgusting things. And I'll kick it off. And I'm sorry, this is mildly depressing, but it is, but this is the grossest thing I have ever saw. And it's sad. We had this dog. Her name was Cheyenne. She was this blue-eyed setter. I think is the name of the dog. This dog was never fixed. So Cheyenne had several litters of puppies. It was annual or biannual. When you're a kid, you see a dog have puppies, it's the best thing in the world. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. But when you're growing up and it's over and over, it started attacks on this poor dog. And it's later, in her later years, when she was getting older, they never fixed her. She'd get in heat. A neighborhood dog would come, do its thing. There was one litter that she had where the whole litter died and they didn't survive. So they had one runt of the litter that actually hung in there. But there, obviously, it was something wrong with him. Like, it was just, it was dumb. Like, it was a dumb dog. It was slow. It wouldn't eat right or whatever. And so the grossest thing that I had ever saw was that the dog disappeared. And of course, Cheyenne was a little sad. And when we couldn't figure out where this dog went, we thought maybe, like, it went off somewhere to die. Well, it didn't go off somewhere to die. It decided to, like, die under this shed where we had in the backyard. And, like, it was a week later, and it was, like, this, like, smell. And I was, like, the moment, like, I came home from school, that smell, I was, like, oh, shit. Like, this dog is dead here somewhere. I can smell it. And I had to, like, fucking...
How big was the dog? Like, how old was the dog?
The dog lasted for, like, a few months. So it was actually it was starting to grow. Like, Cheyenne's like a we would classify as a medium-sized dog.
Right.
So the puppy was actually probably a mix of that dog with a probably, like, a bigger, I would assume, like, Doberman or something like that. Some Doberman mutt did it with our dog. So this dog was growing really fast. The puppy was growing really fast, but malnourished and retarded and whatever. And then it died and did his thing, and it was like the smell. So I toucan Sammed my fucking way to the shed and found this decomposing dog, and it was the most horrifying, disgusting thing I'd ever seen, because not only was it like, because it was gone for a long time, not only was it decomposing, but it also had this like massive like tick infestation. So they had, like, under, like, the belly of the dog, like, it was, like, the first time I ever saw this. It was, like, a whole, like, harvest of ticks that had their fill. Like, they were
full,
like, all, and it was the most disturbing, saddest, grossest thing I've ever seen. And the sadder part of what it is that I had to be the one to dispose of it, like, actually
pick it up,
put it, like, makeshift this mask, and then get garbage bags and put it in a bag, and then we had to, like, tie it up to the whatever. And then I was actually like the only thing I was spared of was that I wasn't the one, you know, to take it to wherever it was taken.
Yeah.
So my stepdad took it, presumably to, like, probably, like, really, really sad, probably a garbage can,
yeah,
or something, or, you know,
fucking Walk in or whatever.
Yeah, or China Inn or whatever the fuck.
Oh my god, racist, dude.
Or I'm sorry, then. Oh, Jalisco, yeah. Jalisco number 7 or whatever.
There
I'm
you
sorry,
go. How about that? Yeah,
the show is represented by Taco de Jalisco number 7.
So I apologize.
This is the grossest thing I've ever seen.
I apologize.
The R word
for that graphic. It's really graphic, and I apologize. It's kind of sad and disgusting, but that is the grossest thing.
Do you know retarded is still the medical term in hospitals? So I think he used it in the proper term. The retarded. Yes. The dog was retarded.
Oh, but the dog was.
Yeah. It had developmental issues.
It was mentally handicapped. Fucking retarded.
It could, yeah.
Dog.
It was too. It wasn't smart enough to live. Like, it was sad.
It's funny because I had similar scenes going in my head. You saw those things growing up with dog. We had a dog just like that. And one of the dogs was born without working. Oh, sorry. This was my dad's, like, hero moment. Like, this dog was born with its legs just kind of not functioning, just were kind of dangling to the side, and it would just kind of pull itself. And he came up with this little system, and he splinted her legs and tied them together. And, like, the fucking dog started walking. Like, it's no all it way. Needed. Yes, my dad will tell that story to anyone who listens.
But yeah, hero dog.
That's badass.
He helped that dog learn to walk right there.
Yeah, he's like the guy who invented penicillin just gave it to the nation to have. Yeah, that's what your dad. Yeah,
here. I bestow this upon you.
And they still live in their little 2-bedroom house.
Dogs.
You know what? But they have a mansion in heaven one day.
They sure do. That little dog, she was great.
What was her name?
Duchess, I think, was her name.
Perfect.
That's the perfect dog name.
Yeah. Crazy Legs.
Crazy legs Duchess.
Yeah.
Crazy Leg Duchess.
Or Duchess Crazy Legs.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Mm. What about you, Dina? Grossest thing you've ever seen?
Oh, God. Nothing really sincerely grosses me out. I don't have...
At all.
Well, you know, not to the point where I'm like, you know... Well, there's like 2 girls, 1 cup, you know, little things like that, which are pretty disgusting. But a part of me is twisted enough to just like witness it, just to say that you did, right?
Or Death by Horsecock, ever seen that?
No.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking gnarly.
Is that what it sounds like, exactly?
That is exactly what it is, exactly. It delivers... The title delivers exactly what
Joe Rogan, from on his podcast, had put... put something out there about the grossest thing you'd ever seen, and it was Death by Horsecock, and it's this guy who they were doing like bestiality porn. This guy's bent over. He has like taint piercings, and they grab this horse, and you know they jerk it off to fuck this guy.
They warm him up, and then
the horse kind of lost balance and went all the way.
And the guy died.
Well, yeah,
on camera, not really. They like camera cuts off the film, but then the guy,
they pull
so
it out.
So he was skewered to death,
blood gushes
by out. Horses.
Death by horse cock. Yeah. God.
Wow.
Is anyone doing Kegel exercises right now? I am. That is insane.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
So grossest thing, do you know? Ever in my life.
Follow up.
I've never seen
that's not even
that,
the grossest
bro.
Thing.
One of the e-fucked classics. E-fucked.com.
I am.
Oh my god, that's brought to you by
Don't go there.
Show is brought to you by e-fucked.com. Ladies and gentlemen,
don't go there.
Don't go there.
I don't recommend it. Just Castro recommends.
Well, see, because like I guess to me, like the stuff that's on screen and things of that nature, I'm kind of desensitized to. Even though it'll like give me nightmares and kind of fuck me up, I don't consider it gross as much as disturbing.
Yeah,
the grossest thing for me was in high school. I went to a private school. I went to St. Anthony Catholic High School, which has kind of a reputation, right, for being kind of, you know, I guess gross and.
Is it grody?
And it was totes grody. It was an all-boys school. It was
totes grody.
Obvi.
Obvi.
It was an all-boys school, right? Very, very football-centric, right? You know, we are in Texas.
Of course.
And I went to the restroom, and I have a pretty sensitive gag reflex. Sorry, Dino. And
I don't.
Oh, dude. I can't even do, like, the x-rays at a dentist without like I can't, like, it sucks, so
I wonder if you can hear my jaw dehinge on the microphone. Hold on, everyone, really quiet, hold on.
Whoa!
You can't see it right now, but it's like a snake, everyone.
Yeah,
like a
snake.
Or like
undone.
The mummy, just like the mummy, just open wild. Focus are coming out of his mouth. It's
to
crazy.
The Guy-thon.
Yeah. The Guy-thon. I like that.
So I go into like the secondary bathroom, the bathroom that nobody uses, right? Because it was just the previous restroom just stunk of just mildew and dude and like socks and stuff. And it was like
the worst.
It was gross. So I go into the secondary bathroom thinking no one's in there. It's going to be better. So I go in there and it's the opposite of better because it's the previous year's dude smell and socks that they never put.
No.
Like I'm gagging thinking about it. And I go to use the bathroom and like it was water and like shit, right, that hadn't been flushed, right? And shit, real shit, grosses me out beyond belief. So I get like, oh crap, I'm gonna barf. So then I go into the next stall and for the grossest thing, and you thought that was the grossest thing, and now for the grossest thing I'd ever seen, I go to the next stall. And it's completely full of human shit without water. And so I go to barf in it and I look and I am just face to face with human shit. And then it, just like the TV screens, water desensitizes you to what real human shit is.
Right.
You get grossed out by seeing a turd in a toilet and you flush it immediately. It's in the water. It's not right there. But this was a bowl full of human shit
dump.
Of just who knows, and it wasn't
did you slip and fall into it?
I go and I just leave and I just kind of half barf outside of the place.
Oh man, you didn't barf on the shit.
I thought you were gonna like stack it up higher.
I was so afraid, like there was honest fear in my heart.
Oh my god.
Fair enough. That was the growth. I mean, you asked, bro.
No, well, you know, that's
You obviously have never been to a leather bar before.
No.
Because that's like
common.
Well, not the shit part, but
yeah. Just the barf? Just
the smell of just dick.
Of like, just
there's no way of like at
smell
all
of just dick.
Dick. and Fabuloso.
Just dig for men.
And Fabuloso.
Hey, but Fabuloso makes everything smell so much better.
Well, after a while, some of these leather bars have been up for a while. So yeah. It's like decades of dick.
And you know what?
Is that a Judas Priest anthology?
That 28th anniversary Best of Collection 4 CD, Decades of Dick.
That's the name of my autobiography.
Decades of Dick.
Yeah.
A true autobiography.
It's an acquired smell. I mean,
autobiography.
Right. So, okay, so that's not the grossest thing? You're just
I can see what you're saying too. I mean, everyone that went to Catholic school probably ran into that before for 1 year.
Which one?
Holy Rosary.
Ooh, West Side. Yeah. Whoa, West Side.
Well, in the house I grew up in was across the street. There was like a welding shop and a house, and that's the house I grew up in. So my family's trade is welding. I do know how to weld too.
Wow. Awesome. Wow. My uncle's a welder.
And
can he make barbecue pits?
Yes, he does. He sells them for like a lot of money.
Yeah, like the Spurs logo?
Oh my God. Headboards with like recovered like Texas stars from fire sales and shit. Yeah, it's crazy. Plant hold, whatever you want. A fence, a privacy fence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, my mom could watch across the street too, and she would tell me, I could see you running at a recess, which it's a lie because I was not running at recess. I was eating Cheetos that were 50 cents and they stole them in the
office?
A baseball field. So during recess, they would open that up, which was initially open.
Smart.
So.
No, at St. Cecilia's, they sold it in the office. It was the weirdest thing to go into the office to buy Dr. Pepper and Snickers, and they'd sell it to you.
Yeah.
For a dollar. It was the worst.
That's crazy. I mean, I don't know. The grossest thing I've ever seen, maybe white socks with sandals. I mean, I'm very practical.
That's pretty gross. Yeah. That is pretty gross.
I would like to start a nonprofit that helps straight men discover colored socks.
And I will give money right now.
GoFundMe.
Yeah. I have my wallet right now.
There's Gray. Yeah.
I'm pulling out my wallet for everyone to hear. I'm donating immediately to this, so you know.
It'll be a wonderful cause. We'll see.
Are you not wearing white socks?
No, I'm wearing jeans too, but I've got it's the same amount of energy.
Sounds like Freddy Krueger socks,
or Miss Muppet, like the Muppet baby socks. The babysitter.
Yes,
you'll make my dreams come true.
Muppet babies.
I used to love the Muppet Babies.
That was a great show.
Really,
that was a great
Mama
show.
Dada boop boop chihuahua. Mm-hmm. What about you, Brian?
So, as I was thinking about this question, I was trying to figure out what was gross, and I've come to the realization after all these years that it's two things. It's a combination of two things. I'm okay with seeing puke and blood and poop and all kinds of stuff, and I think it's hilarious if someone pukes on someone or poops on someone or farts on someone. I think that shit is hilarious, literally. But what I can't seem to handle is really harsh smells like the dog and people eating puke or poop or pee or something like that. So that gets me. So,
Of course.
Okay. So you were saying, like, for movies, I'm totally desensitized, 100%. But the movie that one movie that I can never get through is in Dead Alive when they're eating the custard and body parts are falling off and people are eating, like, the pus falls into. I mean, that is hard for me to go through for some odd reason.
Oscar award winning Peter Jackson.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen it, get to it.
Yeah. If you like The Hobbit and you like Lord of the Rings,
if you like Heavenly Creatures,
Lovely Bones.
Maybe you like Lovely Bones.
You love that King Kong. You'll love Dead Alive.
Yeah.
So that's hard. That stuff's really hard. And I've heard stories of people telling me things that are just really gross. Like I just heard a great one a moment ago. But for me, the grossest thing that I remember almost throwing up on it was in college, and I was just starting my job as far as being a filmmaker and doing corporate videos and stuff. And we got hired by a hospital to come and film parts of the hospital for a big old PSA they were working on. So they gave us access to a lot of cool stuff like ICUs and whatnot. So you're in a hospital, so you're already set up for gross. Mm-hmm. So they said to us, we want you to film, this woman has consented, we want you to film her getting a C-section. And we were like, oh, that's cool, man. That's like medical. That's cool. Yeah, I see that on House all the time. You know, and as an avid House viewer, I'm like a doctor. So I was totally comfortable with what was going to happen. So they gave us the booties, they gave us all the scrubs, the masks, everything, and we got in there with our cameras and we were really excited. Of course, we were like, you know, further back, but we were in the room and they were starting the procedure and it was really cool. And I'm just standing there looking at them and they get the little scalpel and they burn. They basically cut you open with a piece of heat.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, whoa, this is awesome. You know, like Discovery Channel. And so I'm watching it and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this wall of burning flesh smell hits me in the face. And it's not like you burn your hand or you know, no. It was this wall that just smacked me in the face. And I was like, and I just went back. I was like, oh, what is that? What is that? Can you smell it? And it was not going anywhere. I kept moving. Yeah. It was and it was getting harder and harder. And my brain was freaking out because it hadn't adjusted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was in the room and I heard the mask and the doctor, all they could hear was you going, huh? And they're like, sir, do you need to go outside? I'm fine. I'm fine. And they're like, so like it took, you know, my friend was totally pro. Yeah. And he was like, Brian, stop. And so I had to step out for a second to breathe again because they couldn't get the smell out. And then finally, after like, you know, 3-4 minutes, I walked back in and I started to acclimate a lot faster. Yeah. But that just unsuspecting wave of burning human flesh was just so harsh and so pungent.
Now, let me ask you this, because this is my experience, and I think the human brain and the connection to the olfactory senses are quite interesting. But every bad smell after that, did it remind you of that bad smell?
No, man. That's me.
If I smell something awful, and then let's say like I smell something else that's bad, it triggers that.
Even though it's not
bad.
A similar smell.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not similar. Like I smelled this fucking sweaty, like this guy was in basketball shorts for like 3 days.
Bull.
And we went on a road trip and it smelled pretty bad. And then like, you know, a couple days later, the trash hit me, like some rotten trash, because I was taking it out, and all I smelled was
balls.
Yeah,
you know what it is? I think I haven't found a smell as bad yet. I think that's what it, as soon, I'm pretty sure once I hit something that's just like maybe the dog or something, something like that was that hard, I might come right back and be like, oh no, I can't breathe.
Yeah, but I think smells never really, because even the dog, and even the one time, and this will be a story for another podcast, but there was a time where a bear shit at the Diamond Shamrock I used to work at.
Hell.
So, but that's a different story.
But like a bear.
Like a gay bear?
Yeah.
No, like a... like
on the way to the bar?
A bear escaped the San Antonio Zoo and walked in the store and shit in my toilet because there's... It had to
really?
Be
walking
no
on
because
legs.
No, there's no possible way.
I saw that news story.
There's no
too.
Possible way a human being could have taken a shit this monstrous inside of a toilet. So it had to be an escape bear from the San Antonio
on the
Zoo.
Little train around.
I was stuck in the cooler.
On a tricycle and had a little.
That smell, like those smells, like even like that. In those experiences, it never really blew me away. Like in terms of like a gross, it smells bad. It's not gonna be like you know, whatever. But it just never gets to me. Whatever. Visually, I'm thinking I'm almost pretty desensitized too. I think, but it's pretty bad.
I'm okay with gross touching stuff that's weird, like to touch.
Oh, okay.
I'm okay with that. Like I can step on cockroaches barefoot. Like it doesn't bother
me. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know, and it bothers a lot of people.
Yeah.
But sight and smell, that'll fuck me up. What about the Facebooks?
Oh, Facebooks. So we have Jessica Michelle. She says, speaking of bugs, roaches that fly at her face. It's pretty gross. Albert Vasquez says, Suriname toads giving birth through their back. It makes me gag every time. So that's something to like.
That you see a lot?
Well, maybe you see it like
every
once.
Time?
Our friend Puto Slam Poetry, Shaggy, front row, Warfield Theater in San Francisco, Hole is playing. Courtney Love is not wearing panties.
Yeah.
Night terrors.
That's like Dead Alive stuff right there.
Yeah.
Just even falling out. And
he just saw Kurt Cobain's talent just dripping out.
Brian Benitez, also C-section. He said it was also the most beautiful.
My child is being born. I'm so happy he's a father.
Gerardo Vadine said a dead cat, some asshole shoved a stick in its eye after it died. Rest in peace, street cat. That's sad. Brandy Dunnigan said, my baby, when it came out of me, fucking disgusting and beautiful. I'm supposed to say that, right?
Is that what you put?
Yeah. Samantha Lyons Rec, my dad's side of the family lived on a farm and did a lot of hunting using dogs they called coon hounds.
Mm-hmm.
No idea if that's the right name for them.
Nope.
I have a very vivid memory.
Raccoon Americans.
That's right.
I have a very vivid memory of watching two dogs disembowel a dead beaver. The runner up to that had to be the baby calf that had to be forcibly removed from the mother using a tractor, which is seen on Dr. Pol.
Yeah.
If you want, for any fans of Dr. Pol on Animal
Planet,
that's tons of calf births by tractor. Even the grossest zombie movies don't faze me or my brother.
Right on.
Hector Bajorquez says he's got a long story. Grossest thing he's ever seen that he'll talk about in public is a dead cat full of maggots. Gerald and I were dressed like Sandinistas underneath the old house we used to live in, tracking down a pretty strong scent. We were both on our hands and knees in the crawl space. I find the source of the smell, a dead cat, one of many I've seen, except it was bloated, its belly tight with gas, its legs sticking out in total rigor, but it was moving. Not moving really, but underneath its fur, you could see movement, like waves, like the muscles were moving in a terribly unnatural way. I was holding a garbage bag. I was wearing plastic gloves and cloth gloves on top of those, and those are wrapped in plastic garbage bags. That's the method I used.
Yeah.
So I thought, what the hell? So I reached out and picked it up with to stick it in the garbage bag. Gerald said, no, and all in slow motion, but it was too late. The cat broke in half in my hands and out poured thousands of maggots like boiling rice. Like boiling rice.
They're
only noodles, Michael. I was just about to fucking say that. They're only noodles, Michael. Jessica Michelle liked that. She said it was amazing.
That probably would be one thing that I could not handle.
Yeah, that
I will say. I've never seen it, but if
a dead cat
snapping in half.
Yeah.
No, maggots.
When we lived at the maggots, man. We lived at the keg house, and there was a huge backyard that led into the woods, and there was always stray dogs, and this old dog just decided to die in the shed. So
one day
it was like, what dogs do. They're like, I'm gonna die
over here. So we went back there because we were planning some video shoot, and then we went, fucking dog. And like, there it was. So you just kind of force yourself as like a boy turned dad that's like, okay, this is gross. Fuck it. Whatever. And I go and I grab gloves. I grab a trash bag. And my mistake, I grab it by the tail.
Oh, yeah.
It just came off.
Yeah.
All the hair and everything just came off. And that feeling, I went, and I just never again.
Yeah, never again.
Dead rat in my front room when I lived with my mom. Mm. And then I go to grab it and I went, and I just went, no. Like, I can't do rodents. Mm-mm. I can't do rodents.
Yeah, terrible. Stacy Medina said, Tart Larson posted a video of an eyeball with a worm in it. Mm-hmm. And it shows them slice the eyeball open and pull the worm out. And then they place the worm on the eyeball for a bit before removing it completely. I'm sure I've seen worse, but that was the most recent, and that's what comes to mind. They have some medical videos of that. Miguel Cantu said, lemonparty.org.
That's not gross, it's gorgeous.
That's beautiful is what that is. That's natural.
Three elderly men blowing each other.
Having a nice, fun old lemon party.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
.org.
.org.
Ross Carter.
Sponsored by.
When a few months ago, he was in his room when he heard a crash from outside. There's a construction yard adjacent to my backyard, so he ran outside to the yard. Basically, the pneumatic system on a backhoe shovel malfunctions, causing the shovel to crash to the ground, and it severed one of the worker's hands off to the point where it was only connected by a strip of wrist skin. The other workers were freaking out so much to do anything, so I had to wrap it in a towel while we waited for the EMTs. Pretty crazy and gross. So
Ross Carter.
Yeah.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
I have a few people that chimed in on my Facebook. So Drew De La Garza said, homeless man taking a dump at 5 p.m. at the Vietnam Memorial downtown. The bike cops were arguing over who was going to arrest him. They let him finish releasing the Kraken, though. Hashtag considerate. Hannah Leah, burlesque dancer from Dallas. She is lab teching her way through stripper school. She said rotting dead flies and larva eating them under a microscope, though. Since they're part of my job, I'm becoming immune to it.
Yeah.
Again, Leah Evans said, I had a child come out of my body. The nurse asked me if I wanted a mirror to see it. I had a beautiful boy, but the sight was the grossest thing I ever saw. I never knew the body could stretch to those heights. And Kip Hinton in Laredo said, this guy who lived in the Ohio State campus slums, he always had a bad cold, so he would constantly spit phlegm through the heater vent in his living room. It crusted up on the floor around the vent, and his house always smelled like cooked mucus.
Aww. Nice fucking topic, yeah. Jess.
So, guys, hey, grossology, you know?
You owe me a life.
Dead on. You guys are dead on with impressions today.
What's that from? I didn't even
it. Was Keanu Reeves and Man from Tai Chi.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
That's the only part I can just think about it.
You guys are killing it.
You gotta fight for money.
Or whatever. I don't know. So anyways, Grossology. Yeah, I'm looking to that.
Yeah.
Because they're neat books. And if the exhibit's probably going to gouge an eye. But maybe I might partake in some farts and boogers for old time's sake.
Classic.
Yeah. And all the stoners in San Antonio as well. I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Go at 420. All right, guys. And now it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
There we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch.
So this edition of Dad's Cornered is on the... not Eve, but what is it? The afterwards?
Post.
The dawn?
The dawn? Let's call it the dawn, because that sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. The dawn. Well, no, that's the date. Anyway, it was Mikey's birthday.
Like, it was after Mikey's birthday.
Yeah, it was after Mikey's birthday.
The dawn of his birthday.
It was her 9. She turned 9 years old on the 26th of July. Very proud papa here. And had a big water slide and stuff, and she's still cool with that. But... it's on the eve of pre-adolescence, right? So she had a good time and stuff. Last year we had a roller skating party. I think this is probably going to be the last kind of kids party that we're going to have for her, because I'm pretty sure – because she was asking for like a sleepover.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. And being a dad and just kind of – I wouldn't want her to sleep over – at someone else's house if the dad's going to be there, just because of how untrusting I am.
Yeah, no.
I'm just like, I understand if you guys don't trust me. You don't have a reason to not trust me, but this is awkward, and I leave. So she got a bunch of presents, and because her friends range from her old elementary school to her new elementary school to her summer camp that we have at my work – to my friend's kids that she kind of knows, the spectrum just varies from kind of affluent kids to West Side kids to, you know, just basic down to street neighbors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the funny theme for all of her presents, she literally got, I would say, about 7 or 8 diaries.
Ooh.
She got this Monster High voice activated diary. She got this Hello Kitty kind of enter in this pin code thing. Then she got the basic just furry heart with a princess lock diary, but a bunch of fucking diaries. And I was like, did you ask for that? And she was like, no, I didn't. She was kind of laughing. So she has like, she's good for, if she becomes she's the writer that I want her to be, she'll mm-hmm. be good for at least a year.
Yeah.
Right. So that made me think, and a suggestion from my friend Felicia Sandoval, did you guys have journals or diaries when you were younger? And if you can remember an excerpt. Now, with me, I didn't have... Oh, there it is.
He's pulling out one from his bag right now.
Good. Okay, because I looked for mine. I actually called my mom, and I wrote a lot of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a bunch of poetry. I was this like would-be poet that was just all sonnets. Everything rhymed. Like, I thought poetry that didn't rhyme was like pretentious at the time. I just, you know, I was like, it takes skill to rhyme, and these spoken word guys that don't rhyme,
right.
it's just lazy. So I couldn't find one. I honestly tried. I actually even tried to log into my live journal.
Oh, wow.
To see if I can find anything. But what I will do for all of you public access listeners out there, I will find one, I promise, and I will post it. I can't find anything. But like I said, it was pretty corny. So I'm going to leave it up to you guys. If you all remember anything, and Dino, you brought it, so I'm going to go with you first.
I was horribly, horribly needy and dramatic in
high school.
Wow,
look at that.
This is from high school,
dude. This is high school. So that was actually me in high school.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Black. I love it. This was like a photography one, like, test.
What high school?
Business careers.
Business careers, Holmes, what?
Yeah.
What's up, Holmes?
yeah, this was like, fuck Valentine's Day, this stupid poem, and it has like dry, you have like,
different,
rose
on the first
petals.
Page, you had different handwriting than this yeah. one. Like, you, but that's.
This is in cursive. That's how fucking fucked yeah. up Valentine's Day was. I wrote in cursive. There's just like random drag queen Teletubbies. This first, one of the very first straight yeah. guys I ever fell in love with.
Serious confusion.
That would be the title, the headline.
Oh, so wow. were you out in high school?
I was out in high school.
Oh, that's
yeah.
great.
Well, I've always been out to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Like at school, I was everything. You know, I had a boyfriend. It was nothing.
Nobody gave you shit.
No, not at all. Good. I think by that point, it was already a little. I mean, of course, you would have, you know, some insults, but
right.
he asked if I was gay in high school, and there's like the epitome.
This is
gay.
Multimedia. This is a yeah. multimedia
yeah.
yeah.
scrap. Wow.
So,
wow.
yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I was heavy into collage, you know. That was one thing.
If these walls could talk, work with me.
Local San Antonio artist and photographer works at Art Pace, Chris Castillo. This is an entire journal entry about the first day he transferred to our yeah. school and sat right in front of me.
Yeah, and you have a negative film.
He actually was trimming his negatives, and I kept them and
yeah.
glued and them into my journal. I did. He does know about this. We have talked about this,
and describe for the listeners, like, this isn't just like page after page of just written stuff. Like, it's very artistic. Every page has a different like handwritten style, almost different little drawings and doodles and photographs and collages, and this thing's a piece of work here.
This is Tori Amos lyrics. Yeah. I was definitely that kind of yes. kid. A list poem, because yes, I was about structure yeah. with poetry.
Yeah.
So here's an just a little brief entry,
please.
Yes.
Another attempt at healing. Once again, confusion has set. I just found out that a great guy I used to have a crush on now has a boyfriend. Yeah, I haven't spoken to him in like forever in 5 days, and I've had 3 lovers since then, because in high school you had lovers apparently. This is horrible. I cannot believe I'm reading this. But I still feel sad. I know it's funny, but what can I do? You know? That isn't what it's about. Yeah, he's gorgeous. He's really great to be with, but it isn't about him. I'm lonely. It's just like, it's horrible. It's absolutely just, it's pages and pages of the lyrics to my own from Les Mis. Like, it's just like this tortured.
I want to hear the Fuck Valentine poem.
Oh, God.
I'm going to record you in video.
No, I don't think I'm going to read that one. I don't even know what the fuck all this shit is. Okay, let's see. Okay. I write like a girl. I've always been told that. I remember when I was in elementary school, I was always told that. One day I forgot to put my name on one of my worksheets, and Mrs. Evans held it up and said, "Who didn't get their paper back? It has to be a girl because the writing is so neat." I got a 0 on that assignment. One day my friend Rachel told me that I throw like a girl. I do. I had this really mean butch lesbian nun for a coach in elementary school. She used to laugh at me because I couldn't throw or catch or get the damn basketball and the stupid little hoop thing. Then one day I was playing Captain Planet on the playground when she called me over. She asked me why I always played on the playground with the girls and why I never played soccer with the boys. It was a simple enough question, but all I could do was cry. All I wanted to do was take pollution down to 0, and here she was making me insecure about something that felt right. I'd start playing with the boys soon enough. I was supposed to be a girl. No, I'm not meaning like I was a transsexual, but I really was literally supposed to be a girl. My mom was going to name me Natalie Rose, still hyphenated, yet slightly separated in a certain spot. Well, I don't know. Anyway, I can barely read any of this. I was a dramatic fucking yeah. high school student.
That's what a hell yeah. of a journal. Like, right, seriously, I would watch you, a one-man show, in here right now, on that stool. I would watch you for hours talk about your life.
This thing is velvet covered on top of that. Yeah, it's actually textured.
You can't feel it, but it's a beautifully textured journal, ladies and gentlemen.
But yes, get her as many as you can. My mom, I'm 31. I still get a journal every year for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
A calendar, a journal, a pen. She always, like, fosters. I never run out of material to write with.
And you still keep a journal?
And I still keep a journal. I do it either... You know, it depends. Like, sometimes when I'm in a waiting room and I get inspired, I'll just write it as a note and email it to myself and format it later into, like, a manuscript. But what? Is that weird?
It's not weird. It's great. Like, I'm laughing the same way
that I would laugh at something I'm enjoying. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I'm not laughing at you. I think it's a wonderful thing that you still do that and it's still supported. And what's the word I'm looking for? Not the strength, but the discipline it takes to keep that up.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Well, and you know, especially if she shows that she's interested in writing, it's something you should do all the time. Even if it's just a list of 10 things that you hate about your day, whatever, as long as you get it out of you and put it on your paper, I think it helps everyone kind of change. And then you get that out of all of it, which is essentially, this was my journal from like the age of 18 to 27.
That's when, like, the glitter fades.
Every bad hookup, every fun night, every drunken, you know, experience. It's all there.
Where can we buy this amazing book, my friend?
Well, you can either look it up on Amazon, When the Glitter Fades, or you can get it independently through whentheglitterfades.com, which will go straight to the press that it's published with. And you can get that copy. You can get a copy of the first book that I was a part of called Tragic Bitches, which was even more tragic stories of dating and partying. And it's what it's all about. So yeah, please buy your daughter more journals. Everyone, buy your daughter. Don't let
buy Larry's daughter more
journals. Buy Larry's daughter more journals.
Ryan, you got anything?
So, yes. So I remember that I was thinking to myself, man, I'm ill-prepared. But then I do remember that I actually do carry two things. So something that I find interesting about myself is, like, I always think I don't do something. So I believe everyone else is more inspired and they live a greater lives and they do bigger things. And I never think that I'm that kind of person. And I'm not saying that I am, but I always forget that I, too, have my own experiences and things like that. So I tend not to remember stuff. So when you guys were talking about journals, I was like, man, I don't care. I don't do journals. I never did that. I'm a terrible writer. I have dyslexia. I can't write. You know what I'm saying? It's terrible. Like, but I realized that when I was a kid, very young, and I used to travel to San Antonio, one day I went to, I can't remember what it was, but they had a bookstore, and I remember looking at the journals, and I was always interested, and they had a journal there. It was called Captain's Log. Star Trek.
Called Captain's Log.
And it was Star Trek based. And I was like, cool. So I took this thing, and at like very young age, I tried to write my first thing. And I would always try to make it funny, like Captain's Log. And I'd write a bunch of like 4463997. Yeah, and then like I'd put like dot, dot, dot. I forgot the rest of the numbers. But here we go anyway. And so I would try to make it funny. But then for me, it became too much of a production where I was like, then I'd be stressed myself out. I was like, okay, what jokes do I want to write today? All right, let me have a writing session of my jokes first before I write in my journal. And so I completely missed the point of a journal.
You turn your creative personal output to work.
Right. Yeah. So I didn't pay attention. I stopped. I stopped, and I think it lived somewhere in a box in my mom's basement somewhere. So for years, and then I never considered myself a journal writer. And then lo and behold, that was like maybe two or three years ago, I came to the conclusion or the realization more so that I ended up writing more things than I thought. Mm-hmm. And I thought, so for today, I'm going to show something to everyone here that I carry with me all the time. Then I'm going to talk about something real quick that I've never shown a single person ever. But because I love everyone at this table, I thought I'd get over my shit and then talk about it. So the first thing is this beautiful piece of book.
And that has got some work on it.
That looks like someone's Bible.
Yes. So this started when I went to college. And I remember going to Barnes & Noble here in San Antonio. And I just saw this cool book. And I needed something to write some ideas in. So I picked it up. It was like less than $5. I was like, cool.
Yeah.
It was just blank pages. So what happened, though, over the course – and this was 2003. And so this one book has been with me since 2003.
Yeah.
And it became, lo and behold, I didn't even realize that it became my own self journey of ideas. Okay. And so while I didn't necessarily write, because I'm not very eloquent in that manner, my ideas served as my journal. And they served as like who I was and what I was thinking and the stuff I found really funny in college and the stuff I find funny now. And so it too became a giant collage. So like I would collect things and just start putting them on here immediately, you know, like book cards and all this kind of stuff that would break. Yeah. I would start mandling. So before I knew it, I had this giant book of just all everything I've ever done my whole life.
Yes.
And so it has everything. And I still put stuff in it, like my brochure when I went to go see Brian Posehn. I was like, oh, holy crap. You know what I'm saying? Tickets to movies, like cards that I see that are awesome. Movies that I saw when I was in college that inspired me, like Duck Season, you know? Just so much stuff. And so it would start off like this, and it was like little doodles and cartoons, and it kept going, and I kept going, and I kept going, and I didn't stop writing. And then I started having loves of my life.
Yeah.
And this I've never shown anybody. So I had loves of my life. And so I started putting their pictures inside. And I started not to be like creeper, but just to remind myself of who I was in love with at what time
in your life. And pictures are important, man. Like, as much as people make fun of that, like in that it's quote unquote, I'm using bunny ears creepy. Right. It's just to capture a memory.
Right. And so it was really important to me. And so I look, you know, and it goes through all the way.
Yeah, and also like it's very artistic in its own right. You have a very cool handwriting. Every page looks unique and different. You know, aside from the pictures, but your actual writing in there just looks.
That's what I admire about both of y'all's journals is that they're little pieces of art.
Yeah.
You know, you wrote the titles in a really great like script, and the handwriting's kind of different and it's formatted different.
It's all weird kind of, man. I haven't looked in this for years, by the way. So like, it's been a while since I've opened this book.
Man, I couldn't but look find at that. Mine, dude.
So like, I even have pages in here that apparently I decided to tape in that were like scenes for something that I had written a while back.
That is awesome.
And so it just keeps going, and the more I go, the more it gets. And this is how I remind myself. Like, show tickets start showing up to things like, you know, Hall and Oates. And I'm like, holy hell!
Hell yeah.
So like, that they start getting more
There's
and more.
A lot of Tori Amos in this.
Nice. And so it just keeps going, and comic strips and ideas, and again, more tickets. Sundance, when I went to Sundance.
What?
Like, and then it starts getting bigger and bigger. Like,
and when did you start this?
2003, man. Watchmen, because there was a time when I thought like Watchmen was like the coolest movie ever.
Yeah.
I still like it.
It's great.
Yeah, I like Watchmen.
More show tickets to like, what is it? Stranger Than Fiction. What do I got? These are some of the top movies at the time I was watching. Tron Legacy, The Happening, Zack and Miri Make a Porno, Stranger Than Fiction, Clerks 2, Night Watch, and The Spirit. I thought The Spirit was well designed. A shitty movie. Horrible. But the design on it was awesome, though. You got to admit, the design was awesome. So again, just keeps going. Dr. S, my movies, my friends' movies, more people that I fell in love with, and then autographs from like the guys from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, you know what I'm saying? Because that was really, amazing. Again, that was in college that I survived off of Aqua Teen.
Yeah.
So it just keeps going, and it became this huge journal of my life, like Huey Lewis, his autograph of Huey Lewis, you know what I'm saying?
You've had this journal since the 80s.
Pretty much.
There's Hall & Oates.
Pretty much.
It could say it's from the 80s, but 2003, though.
Cannes Film Festival. Like,
yeah.
And I designed it so you can like open it up and be like, inside is my, what they gave me when
you
I was
guys
there.
Are so creative.
So it was just, you know, it was just me just trying to keep track. And I haven't written it in a while just because a lot of the things I need to do have to be digital for reasons, but I even reached like the end. And I was like, oh shit, I reached the end. So then I was like, so I went back to the beginning. And then started writing on the back of all the pages.
Nice.
So it's going backwards. So it's an important book to me. It goes everywhere with me. It travels all the time. It's in all of my bags everywhere I go. And just in case, God forbid, one day my house gets broken into, fire or something, this thing is on me. So this book.
Have you scanned it? Have you?
No. And that's the thing. And that's what happened. It got so big. All of my ideas got lost. And I was like, oh, crap. And so I like reading the first pages because they make me laugh all the time. Because I'm like, what the hell was I thinking?
How about you read the first page to us?
Let's see, the first page. This was, oh, Jesus. So the first page is like 2003 college freshman dorm. I'm hanging out with friends. I write these things down. It was like the very first page. I was like, ideas. All right, here we go. Ideas freshman year. So the things I thought were hilarious. And again, some of them don't even make sense because they're just like words and stuff. So the first page says, big old asterisk by this one. I guess I thought it was super funny. Guy doesn't like to work out. Hasn't worked out since kindergarten. Forced to do stupid aerobics, then instead of stupid sports, they have extreme, super hardcore American Gladiator shit that would be awesome. No pads. Thought that shit was hilarious. Another big asterisk, thought this was really funny. Guy takes IQ tests, gets negative numbers, tested with a bunch of special children. Gets frustrated that he can't do it, even tries to do it again, gets worse. Maybe this is done for a business promotion or something. You know, again, random splur. Mostly because when I was in high school, I had to take a test with special people because I was dyslexic and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I just wrote, the pain cave, welcome. That's it.
The pain cave,
welcome. I thought it was great. Let's make like a tree and go. I have no idea why I thought that was funny.
Because it was funny and Back to the Future.
Yeah. What? I put... I kid to be right. There's a quote from something. I want to say Family Guy or something, but I put, lick a man's fart box and he'll purr like a walrus.
You speak.
I don't know what it's from. Lick a man's fart box and he'll purr like a walrus.
Switch diaries?
Did you switch diaries?
So
I'm trying to read along with you because I think that's in this diary as well somewhere.
So this book is awesome. I love it. It goes with me. It's my ideas. It's college all over again. I remember I had a whole section about Soul Calibur. Like Soul Calibur jokes. Oh, and then this is trippy.
Soul Calibur jokes.
This is trippy. Like there was a story because I read a story in college, right? Because you read all the cool stuff in college and blah, blah, blah. Anyway. I wrote the idea and then I conformed it to a different idea, right? And I called it, I think the main story was called Kaleidoscope, I think is what it was called. And I don't
fart
remember.
Fart Box?
Fart Box Kaleidoscope. Oh, so yeah. So this trips me out all the time. And I'll tell you why. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll just tell you about it. It's called Kaleidoscope. It was from a short story. And then I started adapting it into my own story. And the it's based off of Ray Bradbury's Kaleidoscope. And basically, it's about a team floating away from each other in the ocean, and they all have radio communication, or at least until they have lost communication. The story is based on Ray Bradbury's Kaleidoscope. And what I had done was I adapted it to be a crashed spaceship. The spaceship exploded in space, and the team was trying to get, they were floating away from each other and they could hear each other, but after a while they couldn't see each other, but they were hearing each other as each fell out of communication. And then I just thought it was kind of trippy that like a couple years ago, well, like a couple months ago, I watched Gravity and I'm like,
oh,
holy crap. Like, not that it's perfectly the same, but I was like a single individual with someone else on the line. They're trying to, they're getting away from me. And I was just like, damn. Yeah.
They stole your fucking idea.
Yeah, they read your book.
Kaleidoscope.
When you weren't
directed
looking.
By Brown Ortiz, Oscar winner. Not anymore. Thank you very much. And so that's that. And so the last thing I'll mention to you guys. And
it's a little black
book.
It's a little black book, okay? And I don't know if I can necessarily read from this one right away because I don't know if I'm ready for that. But wow, I've never talked about this book.
Thank you.
I never shown anyone the book. And for those that don't know, it's literally a tiny black memo book, 80 sheets, 160 pages, made in China. And what happened was, and I guess if someone listens to it, they'll recognize what I'm talking about. But I went through like probably the worst breakup of my entire life. Like it still is today. It's the worst emotional moment I've ever had in my entire life. And so what happens when this book was meant for like another one of those miniature idea books. So I was like, oh, I'm on the go. Got to write it out. But it was so intense and I was so angry and I bottled everything because I don't like to let it out. That it had to go somewhere. So all of a sudden I started writing in this book. But I didn't stop writing. I would write for hours or I'd write for like days, but I'd be very specific about my words. And it's literally the most chronicalized experience of my entire pain from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And it's still going. Like I still write excerpts about that person and about all kinds of stuff. And so I just started writing. I mean, it got intense. And there were some days where, like, the scribbling is really hard and angry.
Yeah.
Some days it was in pencil because that's all I could find.
Yeah.
And it's very emotional, too. It's very dramatic in nature. You know what I'm saying? And just, but it was supposed to be dramatic in nature because I was free to write whatever I wanted without fear being judged by my words or anything like that. And some of them are really crazy. Sometimes I'd get creative and sometimes I'd be angry and sometimes I'd do this. And then you'd get to a part where all of a sudden I'm ranting for page on page, and then you get this.
You have gone too far.
That's all the page says. And I know exactly what it's talking about, but I remember writing that, and that was it. And it just, every day, if I feel something, I'll click my pen, I'll write in it, and I'll close it, and I'll put it back in my bag.
Yeah.
And so I've had this thing now for, I've been writing about the same pain for about 5 years now.
Oh, wow.
Five, man. 6 years now? So it's the way for me to not lose my brain and remember. And I've never even gone back and read it all. Like, I never read it. Yeah. I just keep writing and I keep writing and I keep writing.
Let me ask you a question about that.
Yeah.
So what do you think your life would be like right now if that was not on those pieces of paper and still inside your head and in your heart?
You know, I've thought about that a lot, too. I've always thought about what happened if I bottled that pain. And traditionally in my life, what happens is if I bottle too much, if I hold back too much, I will explode at some point. And sometimes it's been really bad where I've hurt somebody, not physically, but just like I've lost friendships and things like that. So the damage that could have costed me would have been astronomical, I think, if I had not been able to at least write angry in a book somewhere.
Yeah.
Like it would have been horrible. I don't know what would have happened, but it would not have been good. So I praise this little
book. Out of your pain comes like a beautiful relic. And I mean that because it's like this because it's this really like cool little, it just looks beautiful. Like whenever, and whenever you're done with it, it could be just for yourself or whatever, but it is a, like a relic of your own personal, you know, belonging or whatever.
Yeah, I've never had anything chronicalize something so strongly, you know what I'm saying? And it's so funny because it's just, it looks like one just giant stream of consciousness, really, that just keeps changing. Some are long, some are words. So it's important, you know what I'm saying? It's really important, and anyone who bottles out there, if you're like me, then you should probably just at least get a memo pad and just even write angry in it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even if it's just a bunch of angry words, just write it hard and fast and so that way you can get it somewhere.
Well, thanks for sharing. That's awesome. Well, Larry stepped up. I'm still going to bring this out. Let's kick out something dumb. Those were beautiful pieces. Let's get stupid.
Hells yeah.
Let's bring this out here. So,
wow. Oh, I'm loving this.
Now, I too also wrote poetry. I did not keep a journal, but I considered myself a poet through middle sophomore of high school and probably all the way up to maybe
last week.
So I was maybe 25. So rather than bring all my collection of works, I only brought the earliest things that I found. So let us bring up. So as we said art.
Right.
Let's go early. Let's go real early.
How, so when does it start?
This is
some dot matrix stuff.
This is print on a dot matrix. This is probably 1993.
Oh, that paper's yellow.
It's yellow.
The title of the page reads Poetry Packet. Mrs. Hulsley's reading class. I got 100 on it with a handwritten note that says definitely a keeper. So I kept it. The best part is when I read the second page. Also dot matrix printed. It says, special thanks to Miss Holsey, who showed me that poetry is so cool.
And it says, so cool. It says soul cool.
Yeah. And
soul, S-O-O-L.
Yes, it's soul cool. And also the dot matrix graphics are of a quill pen and a bottle of ink. So there's some poetry in there. I'll not mess with that. Not because it's bad, because just we got to pick one thing. Here's one thing from like the same year. It is a creative biography of myself, and it is, the title simply reads "The Remains of File 57-FQ-9850." I related to when you're talking about you're making up nonsense or whatever. Codename Jess Castro.
Oh,
now when you open it up, it is a burnt piece of paper, like it's an old document, and I burnt the shit out of it, so it looks like this, like if this document is not supposed to exist. Yes. Yeah.
Oh my
and it
God,
has my thing. So
people.
I flip it open and also burn there, and it has these studies. And I'll read this first part because this is supposed to be I'm the subject of a lab study, and these are the doctor's notes about me.
Oh my
but this
God.
Is, of course, all written by myself. So September 14th, 1993, you are about to read the accounts of the crew of the mini ship 2400, its mission to explore the outer body and inner mind of subject 57-FQ-9850. And let me break in saying FQ was like, fuck you. That's what.
Fuck you.
Fuck you, right? Yeah. Code name Jess Castro. To seek out new knowledge, using the art of miniaturization to find out what makes the subject live and breathe, to boldly go where no man has gone before or never wanted to go. Signed, Dr. Anselmo Boomer Halls. So the scientist.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
And
right
so
now.
On and so forth. And the whole thing is just burned. There's even this like burnt part where it says boring scientific stuff and it's just a bunch of numbers. And
this is genius.
All
man.
Kinds of madness. I have a biography of James Hetfield entitled The Last One to Tell You How to Live Your Life.
Did you go to your mom's house?
No, this is all stuff I have had with me. Oh. I have every piece of writing I've had since high school.
Dude.
And all kinds of shit. Like, this is...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, all kinds of notes. I guess the... Rather than read the works, this is interesting because it's a note from the creative writing teacher, and I thought this was really cool, and I like this was neat digging up and gave me a nice little pep just today that I read this. And it says, "Dear Jess, I've really enjoyed having you in my creative writing class this semester. Your talent, imagination, and sense of humor have been the highlight for all of us. You really have a genuine, refreshing talent. Watching how much you enjoy writing and reading your work to others can make a jaded teacher like me think about maybe giving it one more year. Thanks for the inspiration.
Oh, wow.
As to this 6 weeks, the vomit muse seems to have struck you, Jess. But despite the subject matter, I agree. Air Sick, which apparently is a piece I wrote, is a very effective poem. I also like Cries of Loss, and especially She Told Me. Keep your enthusiasm, Jess, and keep writing. Let me see when your next story comes out and when it's finished. So I thought that was really cool to read that and thumb through this stuff and then have that kind of like a pep talk from the past kind of like get to me. So yeah, there's I got a Bible of written shit that is like I used to write poetry when I was working at Diamond Shamrock, and they had these little slips for that you used to like do the actual credit card where you crank the card.
Yeah,
I would write poetry on those. Like that was the limit. That was the test. Like, how much can I write on the front and back of this before I run out of space and complete
that's
my
like
thought?
Kevin Smith stuff right there, dude.
Yeah, I guess.
So your life was chronicalized by stories that you wrote. Like you could chronicalize your life through journals, but story based.
Yeah, it was story based poetry. There was one particular poem I know for sure, and it was called like The Fall of Icarus, and it was just it wasn't really a poem. It was just me screaming.
And as a creative writing teacher, that's something that you sort of hope that people recognize that no matter where you are, you can write. You can figure it out. Like if you go into a bank and get a bank slip, there's a, I don't know if you've ever read Writing Down the Bones by Natalie Goldberg, but she tells you, she said, there's nothing in this world that can stop you from writing. Even if you don't have paper or you don't have a pen, you can walk into a bank and probably ask for permission to use the pen that is there with the bank slip and write a poem on there while you stand there.
Wow.
As nothing should ever stop you from doing that. So that's kind of cool. Did you save the actual slips?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I have all the slips. Here's the one that it was funny because I remember you had to read this stuff in class. And so people would go up and go, my roses or whatever, blah, blah. And they'd read a poem or whatever. So I went up and I said this. I was like, this is my poem, The Last Words of Icarus. Ah, help me. I'm falling down. I shouldn't have listened, but I was stubborn. Stubborn. Ah, wait, this can't be so bad. Maybe I'm a hero. Maybe I'm not such an idiot after all. I might even become a myth. I sploosh.
Wait. Shh.
And I wrote that. And then, mortified. Damn. I remember the class was like, and they were like, And I'm like, thanks. So there you go. There's my crap. But it's hilarious how artistic and how beautiful this thing. And this is a... This looks like the ramblings of a madman. This is all kinds of
nonsense. Dude, that from 1993. File is freaking genius, man.
This is pretty fun. 93, 94,
95. All kidding aside, how old were you?
This would have been, it was high school, so it'd have been 15, 16, 17. But I was writing all the way to like 25.
Right.
And shout out to one of my greatest and bestest friends, Athena Wood. Like, she was also poetry. So after high school, she wrote poetry, I wrote poetry. We wrote and read together. We'd write stuff, and then all the stuff we wrote that week, we would read to each other and like better our works. And we would kind of like mark, like, read to Athena this night, and she would have a whole thing of hers read to Jess this night. And it's all this stuff. And it was basically like check marks of like basically like the thumbs up of it.
Right.
So if I really liked it, she would mark a check mark. And if she really liked it, I have a check mark of mine. So like, I have like a binder full of that shit. So that stuff transformed into what? Like, it stopped around the time I was doing Comedia Go-Go, to be honest.
Is that right?
It's true.
Well, you had a new outlet.
Yeah, and I had a new outlet. Because, essentially, the first thing I did for Comedia Go-Go was a mock suicide note sketch, Dumb Things. And it was all this really sick humor. But, essentially, that would have been shit I would have wrote on my own. But I just turned it into my first act. And then, ever since Comedia Go-Go, I was like, well, I wasn't writing anymore. I was acting out whatever we were writing, all the ideas was the outlets.
One thing I want to share, because I was inspired by all you guys, and especially because Brian's was really recent, is the one thing that nobody sees as far as the public is concerned are a stand-up comedian's notes.
Cool. That I want to see.
And so even though I don't have anything from high school, I do have a lot of the notepads that my uncle Jesus Mendoza takes on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Are actual notes that he's written.
Your uncle's got some really fucking...
He's got a Neil Hamburger plate full of notes. And then all thanks to the modern science of iPhones and the Note app, all I'm going to do is read to you the list that makes sense to me, that are called new stand-up topics. And they're out of context completely. If you see me do stand-up, you'll recognize. Others, you won't have any idea, and I won't either. So I'm just going to read them out real quick.
There you go.
Grandfather, single mom, office job, fears, horror movies, drinking, ghetto family, crazy mom, sweetheart sister, advice for single guys, drunk wife, easy to mess with, gullible, hung black men on Pandora. My brother is single and loving it. Watch a comedian's hands during their set, which you should do. It's hilarious. House versus apartment, stripper arrest story. Do you ever think that maybe we live in an alternative universe where American Idol is the most popular show? Taylor Hicks and Scotty McCreery are actual winners, and we have a black president, and maybe even Jesus was a thing. Practical and boring. Someone asked me what I do with $1,000 right now. I said pay off my overdraft protection. My wife says she'll be okay if our son is gay, so do I, but she says I don't have to worry about bitches messing with him. I said, yeah, you still have to worry about bitchy gay guys. She said, yeah, but he could kick their ass, so I wouldn't have to. All teen moms, Real Housewives of SA, who? Anything for national recognition? Tommy Lee Jones, you would know if you worked at Blockbuster in the 90s. Wife trying to be sexy. God has nothing to do with religions. I was never touched by my priest, which gave me self-esteem issues.
God damn it.
Choking sex too far, let me finish, too many legs and joints, small window post-sex. I don't know what that means. I'm pretty normal. As much as I want to care about conspiracy theories, Montevano, Bosnia, or whatever, I don't. The biggest controversy I was involved in was whether or not iCarly was getting canceled. Okay. I'm old now, not white hair, drinking Stella Artois old, get still mad that Dukakis didn't get elected. Bake sale for diabetes. Wife doesn't think I'll shit in front of her. Funeral. Funeral rosaries too fast. Terrible eulogies. Kids do better jobs. Sorry, you're fired. A murderer at Walgreens waiting for pictures to develop. Whatever that means. I hope that God is just an old black woman. Ever argue?
That shit fucking rules, by the way.
Thank you. Ever argue with a woman lawyer ads?
Oh, my God.
best time to... This one, to this day, I have no idea what this means. Best time to go down there, spilled Coke on my lap.
That's happened to me before.
Asperger's, Parkinson's. That's not wrong. What if Michael J. Fox is the new James Bond because he prefers everything shaken, not stirred? Oh,
God damn it.
Yeah. Bitch laughs at everything that's funny. Father's Day. Other. That's what it says. I'm almost done. Father's Day. Other girls pregnant. Family drama in line to take Santa pick. I wouldn't be someone's bitch in prison. I'd be like the ugly girl at school. Why doesn't he like me? Wash my hands after I smoke. Didn't once. Went to piss. My wife thought I got a blowjob from a chain smoker. Pissing next to old dude. Wife is not my best friend.
That's by the way, I love the fact that you have like, you can't see it, but he's got the, you got the cool pads, and then you have like the classic crumpled up piece of paper.
Yeah.
That like is torn and used, and like that's so classic note writing. Yeah. You know, comedy note writing, man.
Yeah. It's, it says awesome. Here, quinceañeras. They have so many quinceañeras here, they put in a maternity ward.
Who farted?
When your granddaughter is older than her aunt, you thought Carnegie Hall was Carnegie Sava. Yeah, these are
these your uncle's notes.
So what's on Facebook, Jess?
So Facebook, Albert Vasquez says, I had an art journal where entries were pictures that meant nothing to others but reminded me of exactly what was happening in my life at the time. Makes sense. Poodle Slam Poetry, Shaggy, my probation worker made me keep one. Dear Diary, today we watched Cocoon two more times at the retirement home. We also played bingo again, which I guess is... Because
he's old.
Yeah, he's old. Felicia Sandoval has an entry from April 28th, 1992. She was 10 years old. Dear Diary, today a boy hit me with a ruler. I told the teacher. He got PO'd. He threw his desk over and knocked over a chair. My leg hurts like hell. He got sent to the office because he hit another girl too. Her name is Tiffany. She almost cried. You can tell there were tears in her eyes. End of line.
She's the one who recommended this topic.
That's a
so
great
thank
entry.
You, Felicia.
Yeah, Gerardo Verdine. He said this is from a fourth grade school diary he had. Starting, I don't know who my dad is. I don't like Father's Day. End of line. P.S. I still don't know who he is. Rest in peace, childhood.
Samantha Lines Rec says, so many, many, many diaries. Reminds me, I need to burn those. Milo Mido said, kept the journal once, but stopped after all my plants died. Aw. Stacy Medina said, I kept some in high school. They're filled with stupid shit. Quote, I love him more than anything. I can't wait to marry him. We had sex today and it was blank. So-and-so was talking shit again. I should just fight her and get it over with. Pretty lame. I guess those are kind of blank examples. And Corey Dorsey says, no, just a backlog of progress reports from grade school that told me how much of a little punk I was. Same thing, I guess. But Corey Dorsey is also an artist. I wonder, he's got some art. So you got some art there, son.
Yeah, come on, Corey Dorsey.
Come on, show your art. Show your art. Show us your dick. So parenting?
Yeah, man. Make sure that you know your kids' diaries passcodes.
No.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you really want to know your kids, read their journals.
Yeah, read their journals/diaries.
If they want privacy,
it won't make a lick of sense.
If they want privacy, they could pay their own mortgage.
They can move somewhere else.
You're welcome. My son, I won't read his journal. My daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
Double standard.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, with Regan out of town for this week's edition of Hey, That's Not Funny, he left us a topic. And Brian, do you care to peruse over his article that he shared with us?
I do. I do. So he left us an article. It's from Popular Science, ladies and gentlemen. Popular Science. Title is Five Phenomena That Science Has Yet to Fully Explain. I'm already intrigued. And so they go on to talk a little about it, and they say, we thought it was a fine occasion to ask, what are some phenomena that science cannot yet explain below our five of our favorite enduring mysteries? And so they go on to list things as yawning. Why people yawn. Very interesting.
There's no concrete reason why we do that.
Number two, ghosts. We can't explain it, but there's a big, strong belief out there in the spiritual world. Yeah. It exists. Number three, deja vu.
Glitch in the Matrix, dog. Yeah.
It is, dog.
It is. Yeah. See that equilibrium, black cat dog. Go by twice.
Saying in the future, yeah, dog.
Gun fu, dog.
Number four, a classic, Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
Which to me, there's only really just one picture. Yeah. That's all we ever see. But to be fair, there's been lots of sightings for a long time.
Homeboy
from
Texas.
Yeah, he caught him, dude. He had a little peepee.
You did. You show his peepee.
His peepee is right there.
He had it on display, right?
They had him at HEB by the SeaWorld, right?
Yeah. 151. Yeah.
His
little Bigfoot peepee, dude.
It was only 8 feet.
The caretaker actually points that out. I caught Bigfoot. Look at his little peepee.
Yeah. They ain't like that, dude. He's like, hey, I caught Bigfoot, dude. Look at his peepee.
That's the selling point.
Yeah. That's why the Hendersons kicked him out. He's a little pee-pee.
And finally, number five for them, the placebo effect. Not sure why, but it's a big thing. Five things that science cannot explain, but there's a big belief in.
Yeah, but some people don't believe in those things.
So Brian, I would ask that you start off the topic, and what's the question one more time, Jess?
So that inspires this week's topic for Hey, That's Not Funny, and the topic is what is something that you believe in that not a lot of other people believe in themselves, that's under scrutiny, something that you firmly believe in that, well, I mean, not firmly, but, you know, ghost, Bigfoot.
We were talking about this a moment ago, but for me, undoubtedly, 100% immediate, it's a classic, but I believe in aliens and extraterrestrials.
Yeah, man.
Granted, again, no extremely concrete evidence, but I feel that in the plane of science, of both like ghosts and Bigfoot, I always feel like with aliens, we're really close. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're just ridiculously close. And over the years, the sightings, the footage, the video, I mean, my God, it's just, I would be selfish to imagine we're the only existing creatures on this entire freaking galaxy/universe. Absolutely.
And that is something that's under a lot of scrutiny. Like, everyone on the table is nodding their head because I'm the same way. I firmly believe it.
Absolutely.
I think it's very stubborn to not believe in alien life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also have, like, that's also one of my fears is not bad aliens, good aliens. E.T., yes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Communion aliens with Christopher Walken, not nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, terrible aliens. Terrible, terrible aliens. But I always have this weird freakish fear. And it, actually, you know what? It's because of that movie. I didn't want it to staple scene in Communion.
Yeah, yeah. Communion's kind of freaky. Yeah, yeah.
The first half of that movie freaks me out. The second half gets weird with the dancing. But the first half, if you know what I'm talking about, if you saw it, ladies and gentlemen. But that first half, man, there is a scene that burned in my brain for all of existence. And I don't know if y'all remember, but it's that weird thing where they go camping and the lights keep going on and off.
I've never seen it.
And, oh, God. And then he's asleep with his wife. And his wife's asleep in the bed. It's super quiet. They've had like a weird night. Everything's kind of weird, right? It's based on the very famous book. So he's sitting down in his chair in his bedroom, and you know, he's sitting there like Christopher Walken. You can't see him. I'm doing a great impression of Christopher Walken sitting.
It's just as good as our Australian accent.
He's doing his splits in the chairs.
So he's sitting there, and the camera shows a dresser drawer, right? And you're looking at it, and it's slowly moving in, and you notice that Christopher Walken's not moving at all, and it's moving. It's dawling closer. It's dark at night. It's dark inside. It's dawling closer to him, dawling closer back. And all of a sudden, from behind the dresser, from this little corner, all of a sudden, it's just – this little alien head just pokes out a little bit to take a look at him. And man, it fucked me up forever. I can't look at closets. I can't look at boxes. I can't look at anything that's tall enough to hide a small creature and it's in the dark. Forget it, man. So
that partial wall.
Yeah. There's something behind there.
No.
But people
just look at that old lady right there. She's changed expressions every week.
I swear to God. So aliens 100%, man. Technology people, they visited us, they've come to us, they exist. I believe we know. We just won't prove it because humans are not ready to accept that concept yet. Yeah. That's real, man. Right. They'll stop
believing in God and stop paying taxes. You know, and I'll transition into mine that isn't a very popular belief, is especially with comedians and entertainers and stuff like that, is I firmly believe in God. I believe in the Christian God. And I believe everything that scientists put out there. And I don't think there needs to be a separation.
Oh, fair enough. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I believe in evolution. I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I believe in all of it, in us, you know, coming from fish and
the primordial ooze.
Yeah.
And all the
fucking Pangea. I believe in all, in the earth grid, even conspiracy shit. And I just think God's just kind of like, yeah, man, whatever. You know what I mean? Why can't a good, like, you know, Christian person believe that God created it? You know what I mean? Right. It's even like, to me, how people are against, like, you know, homosexual love. It's like, oh, whatever, God created it. Like, everything, my answer is God created it. And then the whole, you know, knowing what God thinks, I think is very cocky and pretentious, and nobody knows. Nobody, like, I am a firm believer with, you know, a lot of atheists of, I don't know. Why would God blah, blah, blah? I don't know. Why would God kill this baby and give it cancer? I have no idea. I'm not God. Why does God do good stuff? I don't know that either. I take comfort in my faith, and I accept everybody for what they are, good and bad. And is there balance and karma and stuff? Why not? It's almost like a lazy point of view of,
That's life of pie, dog.
Yeah.
You just wrote life of pie, dog.
I did, dog. And so I think with that mentality of just being happy and positive and loving everyone and still believing that there's something else after life, but there's a good possibility there isn't. I was watching a Daily Show, and Jon Stewart really, really put it out there, is like, he says he's scared of people that have religious beliefs because they feel that where they are right now isn't the best, that there's something better after they die. So that therefore life isn't worth retaining, and that they can't wait to die to get to somewhere else. Whereas an atheist like Putin wants a quality of life and doesn't believe in an afterlife. So better make it fucking cool while you're here. And I believe that. And then I believe in afterlife. Why not? That's me.
Life of pie, dog.
Life of pie. That was deep.
It was, dog.
That was deep, bro.
Yeah, cherry pie.
Yeah.
So the aliens is definitely the first one. And I fear it. When I was younger, I couldn't even see the night sky because it just overwhelmed me so much. Like, the curtain had to be closed. I couldn't, it couldn't be in my vision as I was going to sleep because I just knew.
Yeah.
Because aliens don't come during the day.
No. They know that.
They had a video of it in Mexico, dog. That was daylight. There's a bunch of them. That was Mexico.
Those were like real cocky aliens.
That was a fountain.
That was a fountain.
Oh, it's just an algae fountain, man. They lit it up at night one time, and people freaked out. So that's what happened.
But yeah, I think the supernatural too is kind of weird. Like, I grew up in a fucking mega church that was just horrible, and you know, we went to what we would call home ministry, and it was like once a week, everybody came to our house, and my tia and my tio were. They were the home ministers, and they would have like a little mini whatever. They would pray on people for healing and for all these. I mean, I don't know. So it was kind of always there. And, you know, they would pray on people that were possessed, you know, I don't remember. We were non-denominational, so it wasn't like a Catholic exorcism or anything, but I remember seeing some crazy shit as a kid. So that's something I kind of fear as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I know it's there, and, it's just.
What do they say? That energy cannot be destroyed, correct?
Yeah.
So if your body's producing, I always believe that your body's producing energy. Your body I just can't believe that once your body dies, that's it. Everything constantly produces energy. Period. That's why the universe works.
That's why I think that a lot of like quote unquote ghosts are like dead children.
Absolutely.
Because the energy is so new and fast.
That's how I see it.
And where like old people aren't going to really haunt you because their energy is old and it's expired and it's drifted. Mm-hmm. And I think if someone dies violently.
Yes, that energy is stuck with them. It was a violent impact, the death. It lingers around for ages. That's why it can be on for centuries on top of that. Mm-hmm. Energy. It has to exist and go somewhere else. Henceforth, ghost. It has to be. It's the only way I understand it.
Even at the simple, like the most basic idea, you're in your office and someone's in a bad mood. All of a sudden, like
it penetrates
everyone's head. Yeah. Or you have a party and all your family and friends are there and you're laughing until 3 o'clock in the morning. And the next day, you just still feel like happy. You feel it's weird to say that it wouldn't. Right now, I live in an old hospital building. I live in the St. Benedict Lofts. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And our loft is in the basement, which I guess would have been where the morgue was, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So, it's so bizarre. I believe something had to happen. I don't know if they de-sanctified the building or something, but it's just a shell and it's peaceful. You don't feel anything. But you also kind of feel like an eerie, just silence. Like, you know, you can hear the train, you know, on probant. You can kind of hear some things from time to time, but you don't feel uneasy. You feel a calm, which I think is really cool. Because the St. Benedictine nuns moved, I think, before it was like sitting there vacant for like 8 years or something. Cool. So, you know.
Power of Christ compels.
Yeah.
So, power of Christ compels.
Yeah, let Jesus fuck you. Jess, we're quoting The Exorcist.
Yeah, pretty much. I believe in mermaids.
And, you know, let's talk about this.
You know.
You're full of shit, man.
This is actually kind of, I think, something that's new that's popped up because I think there's this one dude who's championing this whole mermaid thing, and I think that guy's full of shit.
All right.
But I would like to say, though, that like the stuff that he has and the evidence that he's presenting isn't really that believable, but the idea, like, he goes, there's mermaids out there. I instantly went like, yeah, there's mermaids out there. Of course there's mermaids out there. There's got to be some like leftover fucking half of all, because it's the whole
thing. Yeah, yeah.
His whole thesis is that if we came from the primordial ooze or whatever, then there was this point of time where man was like half man, half fish, didn't make it all the way.
Right.
And then there's these secreted parts of the world where those beings or whatever didn't crawl out of the ooze, so to speak. They stayed in the crevices or whatever. So they still have like this half man, half sludge merman thing, and to have them, like a few of them around, I believe in that. Now, do I think they're fucking under the sea having a party? No.
Peace, did good.
Hey, like fucking having jerk chicken in the deep fucking blue sea. I don't think that's happening, but
jerk chicken, I want to be sea.
Where the people are.
That's exactly what I want to
see. I want to see him dancing.
That's a dingle hopper.
Yeah. What are these called? Feet? As Alf was, as Ariel. Where are these feet? Ha!
I want to be Ursula the Sea Witch when I grow up.
That's a good dream.
You should do that at a drag show.
Oh. Yeah. You should do like a Disney-themed show, man. Yeah. You know how many people?
Those poor unfortunate souls. Can you imagine fucking...
In pain, indeed, yeah.
Now sing!
Oh, and then have skinny little drag queen just like...
That would be an amazing show.
Dino. Make it happen.
Disney Fox.
Yes. Hashtag Disney Burlesque if you want to see this, people.
Yeah. There is a Disney Burlesque show that happens up in the
No, but
Chicago.
I want you to do one.
Yeah, I'll do one here.
Oh, you to do your take on
White?
It.
Is there Snow White?
With the, kind of a gangbang, like a gangbang scene with seven dwarves, maybe?
Pretty awesome. Yeah. So the dude's special that's on is bullshit, and his video footage is bullshit, and his pictures are bullshit, but I believe what he's saying. Like, I know that sounds dumb.
My brother-in-law, not Tim, my other brother-in-law, he came up to me and was like, Larry, look, seriously, this is the footage of a mermaid. And it was so obviously CG. You know how?
Oh, so obviously.
Yeah. You know how you're like, no, it's the framing's different. Even though I'm colorblind, you can tell that
it's bad compositing.
And I'm like, but you don't understand what I'm saying. It's fake, bro.
Yeah. But they're out there. CG, I believe. Yeah.
Look at this tree. They found a tree talking and it's throwing apples at the girl with the plaid dress.
Like the descent? That can happen, bro.
It can, dude.
It can. There could be a fucking cave of half-developed mole men just eating shit.
Just yesterday, my partner was like, "Did you see the footage of the mermaid?"
No, there it is.
Oh, there it is. The pictures of the mermaid man.
See, but you know, it's hard in today's society too, because with the way we computer technologies, makeup effects, the technology that we can do to recreate humans. I mean, my God, it's so hard to decipher what's even real or fake.
Like this is the set of the Face Off, the effects makeup reality show or something. I don't know.
See, like, in the wrong context, all of a sudden, boom, mermaids are real.
People fucking believe
it. But I actually think that stuff is real. There's a Bigfoot. Why wouldn't there be a Bigfoot?
Why wouldn't there be an unevolved man? I mean, honestly, because you could see the evolution of, like, horses and birds. You know what I mean? Like, Darwin did it, like, within his lifetime. So I think, you know, when you have, you know, a rhino beetle with a regular beetle and, you know, fucking ligers, and you can see all that sort of stuff right in front of you, why wouldn't there be the human version?
I mean, in fact, we haven't explored all of the ocean. We cannot.
No, we cannot
physically go to
those motherfuckers are having jerk chicken down
there's
there.
There's a jerk chicken party at the bottom of the goddamn ocean, and
jerk
we're not invited.
Crab or whatever.
There's these worms that live.
Tuna, which is chicken of the sea.
Yeah. Okay,
so yeah, it's jerk tuna.
Yeah,
it's jerk tuna. Chicken of the sea.
Jerk chicken of the sea.
There's these worms that only live in this volcanic ash are like by the core of the earth, really deep in the ocean. And there's a belief that I'm kind of partial to that is what we know as hell. And people that go to hell become these worms that are able to live blindly because they're blind worms in this sea of fire.
Like the Little Mermaid.
Yes.
Where she had all the little mer people turned into these little creatures.
See, and I think that's our God is water. You think we're made in God's image. We're 70% water. Heaven is fucking water. We can't breathe without it. Water could kill. Water makes the Grand Canyon, but water can nourish. And
crazy.
So worship water, y'all.
Yeah, fucking Poseidon, dog. Grant Bumpers. Grant Bumpers is Poseidon.
Hades, dog.
He is.
But because of that, I'm petrified of the ocean. I don't even like to like wade in the water where you can't see what's under you. It just scares the hell out of me. But that there's a part of the ocean that just doesn't end.
Yeah.
Like that makes me panic just thinking about
absolutely.
It.
There is a part of the ocean that when we step in, we are the lowest thing on the food chain. We are the lowest of the low. And it's true, man. The freaking ocean, it's so much to it.
Yeah, dude. That's heaven, bro. What about Facebook?
And it's hell.
Yeah, it's damage.
Dude. I'll mess you up. Think about it that is, shit. Take a moment.
I just said.
Corpus, dude. Corpus is fucking heaven, dude.
Corpus is purgatory, dude.
Nombre at the Lexington, dude. Dude, I need some fat bitches that work there.
Yeah, dude.
Like a Whataburger by the bay.
Yeah, two stories. Heaven and hell. Those are two stories.
Two stories, Mikkel.
Two stories. Selena's ass on the statue by the seawall.
That I mistaked as a bench. It had cup holders. Those are just accurate.
So Facebook's Andrew Aguilar said, Faith in big capital letters. Faith. Jeez. Some people still need to learn what it truly means and how much it impacts one's life. It's true. Puddle Slam Poetry Shaggy said 9/11 was an inside job. So yeah, I believe in facts. Oh, Shaggy. Albert Vasquez believes in Illuminati.
That shit's real.
That shit's real. There's something. Viacom.
There's something. Yeah.
Maybe it's not named Illuminati.
Three corporations. Kraft. Johnson & Johnson.
Yes.
And Viacom.
And Viacom.
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 But think about it. Illuminati creates the name Illuminati to get people's attention over there. And what are they doing? Pulling the strings behind other curtains and shit.
Man. Yeah. Pull my strings, motherfucker. I want to be famous.
Brian Benitez believes in facts. Mary Grace believes that frogs give you warts. Yeah, that actually goes in that list of five that you mentioned. But I think, I don't know. Gerardo Verdeen says crop circles. Rest in peace, corn. Lots of resting in peace. We appreciate that. Yeah.
Is he giving a shout out to corn?
Yeah, he's pouring a 40 for the corn.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a
shout
corn.
Out to corn.
Wow.
Samantha Lyons Rex says gingers have souls. So, this is true.
That's not a popular belief. Well,
that's on that top five also.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's a phenomenon we science can't explain yet.
Brandy Dennegan believes in marriage.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. To quote her earlier, fucking disgusting, which is pretty great. Milo says, I'm pretty sure Disney's Sleeping Beauty was meant to be seen on shrooms.
All right.
Okay.
Sleeping Beauty specifically?
That's what it says.
Okay. Right.
But
I'd say Alice in Wonderland, but that may be a little too obvi.
Yeah. My super pal, Athena Bryant Wood, said she believes in the Aswang, which is a Filipino vampire that drinks your blood in the middle of the night. They believe in it. It's weird. There's like one movie on Netflix called that Aswang. A-S-W-A-N-G. Maybe
Aswang.
Aswang. Yeah. I'm probably pronouncing
You've
it wrong.
You've heard of that, huh, Dino?
Ass white, always.
Jay LaFar believes in America.
Oh, whatever.
Stacy Medina believes that having donor on your driver's license means that they'll let you die and sell off your organs in the black market.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
That's very like the island.
I believe that having Facebook Messenger will give the NSA all your information.
Yeah,
that's just
because
true,
you're looking for your
that's
pictures true. On your cell phone. It's always the one person who we would not want to see their pictures.
I'll tell you what's creepy. That you get ads for shit that you like.
Oh no! Yeah, no. It's creepy when you get an ad for something you just looked at.
Or talked about, not even That's talked about weird. On Facebook.
I Google search Rakuten hat for Regan, and then that's what I get in the sidebar of Facebook.
That's fucking crazy.
Nombre way.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. No, you look up something, and it shows up the moment you go back to Facebook.
Hey, Illuminati, think, dog.
B-O-O-K, right? 666, dude.
Yeah, spelled backwards, Cobb.
Yep.
Cobb salad. Miguel Cantu said he believes in Coop salad. Miguel Cantu believes in alien intervention on Earth. Human creation, religious misinterpretations, etc. Probably reverse engineering technology.
Absolutely.
Richard Morgan.
I saw Aliens versus Predator.
Richard Morgan.
Richard.
Believes in manners.
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 You cunt.
Yeah, cunt. And Corey Dorsey believes he'll never stop believing in Optimus Prime. You keep on believing.
I never did. Yeah, so that's not funny, huh, Brian?
It's not funny.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Fuck you, Regan. So, Dino, Brian, thank you guys for coming
Absolutely.
In and doing this very special edition of Public Access with us. And as you both know...
Public asses.
Public asses. Right? Public. That was Freudian,
Hashtag
Dino.
Public asses.
Hashtag glitter dick.
Hashtag my new boyfriend.
Hashtag vomit muse. That's my that is my new hashtag.
Fart box.
Fart box.
Yeah.
Fart box. Pearl like a walrus, ladies and gentlemen.
You know... This is an educational program, Absolutely. As we all know.
Indeed.
And we ask our guests and we ask ourselves what we came to know. So think about that. What did you come to know on this edition of Public Access, Jess?
I really came to know that each of us, and I'm sure if we had Regan here or anybody else, that everybody at the core has some kind of personal relic of themselves. It is an item that identified them at this point in time back in the past, whether it be a collage of pictures, a diary, a journal, something about them. Maybe it's a Beavis and Butthead t-shirt. Maybe it's a shirt of Marvin the Martian from the flea market and he's wearing hip-hop clothes. Like, there's something that defined you in the past, and it's really, I appreciate that people in our Facebook page and our guests were able to share such important relics in their life, and I appreciate that. I learned that people were able to share that, and that's really good.
I learned that we all have a lot in common as far as how we grew up as far as how we expressed ourselves when we were kids and how we continue to express ourselves and how even though we're adults, we haven't grown up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have also learned that Dino lives in a morgue.
So my skin looks so good. So cold in there.
You got the Elizabeth Bathory skincare plan. Dino, what did you come in on?
Well, I came to know that what we do not know scares the fuck out of us.
Yeah.
What we can't see, what we can't touch, what, like love. It's just very scary. Bottom of the ocean. Well, yeah. Well,
You can't.
I know. There's one woman standing between me. No, I'm just kidding. My regards to the missus.
Well, finish your thought. What were you saying?
I don't penis.
Glitter dicks.
Decades of dick. What did I say?
Yeah, decades of dick. Yeah.
The compilation album is going to be fantastic. Yeah. I look forward
decades
to that.
Decades of dick.
That's Brian Ortiz. Cool.
I'm really going to take away my own personal wisdom. I am going to take away the words that I said to myself in 2003 when I was 18 years old. If you lick a man's fart box, he'll purr like a walrus. Yeah. Words to live by. Words to tattoo on your back.
Yeah. That's an under boob tattoo.
That is a tramp stamp.
Yep. Yeah.
Remember that out there.
And where can people, Dino, follow you?
Lick my fart box.
Where can people lick your fart box?
I'm going to go register that. Hold on.
Where can they follow you on social media?
Well, I am all over social media. I've been live broadcasting from here all evening. You can find me on Facebook, DinoFoxx, at Dino Fox with two X's on Twitter. And I'm also Dino Fox on Insta, like the
Insta.
People from the Valley would say.
Todo Insta, güey.
Follow en Insta. Hashtag fresa.
Hashtag fresa. Hashtag pointy boots.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
I could have used one of those for the cockroach that's running around in here.
You know what? And I would step on it with my bare feet.
Yeah.
Brian Ortiz's, where can they hit you on Insta, on the tweets?
I'm on the tweets. I'm on the Insta. I'm on the FB. No longer on the MySpace. Sorry, ladies.
What?
I know.
Oh, ladies?
Well, that's what you get. That's where people used to hook up, if I remember correctly, is on the MySpace.
That's what I was also trying to do for my...
I've got some stories about the MySpace.
What I was going to do for my diary entry was I was trying to pull up my MySpace to go back to, like, you know, 05, 04.
Nice.
And try to look what I... But, you know, I...
They got rid of it, unfortunately.
It's all gone.
It's all gone. Pictures are there, though.
Pictures are there, thank God. Yeah.
So you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Spelled Out _nerd. You can find me on Facebook. If you can find me personally, then that's an awesome mission for you. But you can find my director's page. I'm online. Just type in Brian Ortiz Director. You can find all my other pages, like The Overtime, you know, any other personal projects I'm working on. I always post and list there what I'm doing. And I'm also on the Twitter. So that's an also fun adventure if you can find me there.
On the Twitter.
On the tweets.
Jess, any news?
Hey, guys. This is the second installment of us as a part of the OneOfUs.net family. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of it. Our past listeners and fans and friends who have followed us over to OneOfUs.net. Infinitely appreciative. And infinitely appreciative of everyone who's came, a newcomer who's coming to the show. Hope you enjoy it. Us guys, we're Comedia Agogo. You can find us at comediaagogo.com. That's where our older episodes of Public Access are, and that's where you can get them. We also have a nifty movie called Blood Cousins. It is a movie of comedy, terror, and revenge, and you can get it at our website, bloodcousinsmovie.com. You punch in that code FiestaTube, all one word, you get the movie for $5, and it's a sweet ass movie, if I do say so myself.
It's good.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
It's good.
Cool stuff happens.
That's right. And guys, if you're listening to this, Larry Garza has been doing a lot.
Garza is the fucking talk of the town.
And yeah, so you can follow me on Facebook and all that shit. You should know at Larry and Regan on Twitter, at Elgarza81 on Insta, and Facebook.com/Elgarza81. But, you know, I'm all over the place. My schedule is going to be up there for a while. August 11th, we are having a fundraiser show for National Cheech and Chong Day at the new Night Rocker. And the proceeds that we're going to raise are going to benefit my Vegas fund. So help.
Hey!
Get me to Las Vegas,
guys. Why are
you
going to Las Vegas again,
because
Larry?
Because I made it to the finals of the World Series of Comedy, and I didn't get first place. I got second, which means I got to pay my own way, and I need your help, guys, so anything that you could do, visit my GoFundMe page, which you can find on Twitter and on Facebook. Just look up Larry Garza and help me out, bro.
Yeah, more details at ComedyGoGo, hashtag public access, Twitter, Facebook, FBs.
And you know what, guys? If you want some ComedyGoGo shirts, hit us up. We'll sell them to you.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I got one. Yeah. It's awesome.
Take a picture of yourself in it and hashtag ComedyGoGo. So, Dino, Brian, thank you very much for being guests with us.
Thank
Jess,
you.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel
forever, dog.
Down the road and back again.
That's right. So,
the heart is true.
You're a pal and a confidant.
Dun, 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 dun,
and
dun,
if you threw a party, nothing. All right. All
right. Invited everyone you knew.
Ooh.
I watch it every night.
You put a little stank on it. You put a little stank on that one.
That was stank.
That was a little bit of stank.
That was stanky.
So, Brian, thank you. Dino, absolutely. Thank you. Once again, this is Larry.
And this is Jess.
And this is Reagan.
As Reagan from the Outback Steakhouse, yo.
And we'll, and we'll fuck you later. Peace.
Here comes the fun. Here comes the fun.